What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny's Mission Impossible in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every single movie in the Mission Impossible franchise. I'm Tim Geddes. This is Andy Cortez. That's Kevin Coelho. That over there. It's Mr. 48K himself.
Nice shirt, Tim.
Thank you. Where can I get this shirt?
I think you can go to kindoffunny.com/store to get that bad boy.
I really
the
could.
The second Kinda Funny bridge shirt. This is a collector's item, ladies and gentlemen. We are no longer selling the black shirt. Right? I don't know.
Is that true?
I just threw that out there. No. You're not going to be able to get that.
I don't believe we are.
But we are selling this. Beautiful
the
Heather Gray
bridge shirt. Mm-hmm. Vintage style. Nice patina baked into it already. That'll tell you anything right now. Nice this shirt's going to cook in real nice.
As featured on Nick Scarpino in tomorrow's KFAF, I hear.
I believe so, yeah. I wore it today because Joey is smart and told all of us to wear the shirt, knowing that only one of us would remember, but two of us remember today.
Two of us did.
I brought mine and I looked at you. You were on Gamescast and I was like, or Games Daily, and I was like, cool, we're twinsies.
One of us.
We're not
going to
bookend these stunads over here with two shirts, so I'm going to wear mine tomorrow. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow. Great that's show good. Plan for KFAF.
You can join
tomorrow,
us. You too can be just like me and Nick. kindoffunny.com/store. This show happens every Tuesday, 11 a.m. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch live or you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunny or on roosterteeth.com. Thank you all for watching along at roosterteeth.com. I'm looking at all the comments there. You guys are fantastic to us. Thank you for that. You can also listen on podcast services. Just search for Kinda Funny Reviews. And for the next 6 weeks, you'll also get in that feed the Game of Thrones interview that we're doing for the final season of Game of Thrones.
That's good stuff.
Go check that out. That's happening every Monday. If you want to be part of the show, like Patreon producer David Mintel did, you can go to patreon.com/kindafunny. And then
does
you can
David
also write
Mintel
in
even
here.
Watch this show anymore?
I'm sure he does.
We
I'm
said
sure.
so much shit about it. At one point, we just went on a tirade on KFAF about how he saves ponies from other ponies.
It was like, not we. It was just Nick.
No, Andy was part of
that
it, too.
That was part of it, too. Yeah. But they were racist baby horses.
Whoa. Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, so he's liberating the good ones.
The good ones. Done.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and killing the bad
like
ones.
Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You guys can be a part of the show. Patreon, writing your haikus and reviews. We'll read those later. I want to let you know today we are talking about Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. And now before we get into it, ladies and gentlemen, last week before we got into
you
it,
had some, you, I went you, on a little tirade. You are a non-believer,
tirade,
you are a non-believer in the Mission Impossible series.
I hit the point.
Series.
I was like, guys, look, we're four movies in and I'm not saying they're bad. But I feel like there's no cohesion. I feel like there's too much filler in these movies. I feel like we're not, like the highs are highs, but the mids are just kind of there. You know, I'm not liking it. I want to see the team. I want to see the people that I'm familiar with.
No.
I want more of that. And I didn't get it. I haven't been getting it. I was like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not excited to see the next Mission Impossible in theaters when it happens.
And then what happened?
And then I went home and I watched Rogue Nation.
Rogue motherfucking Nation.
Yeah, you did.
Holy fucking shit. Hold on to your tits, everybody.
Yeah,
this is a goddamn movie. And I will see every Mission Impossible day one in theaters till the day I die.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is a fucking genius.
Yeah.
From beginning to end, this is a masterpiece of an action movie.
So
every
good.
Single thing, every complaint that I had last week. Fixed.
Yeah,
single one.
This is really the movie where they're like, oh, we figured it out. You guys, we need to have a little bit of a, like, the team needs to come back. You need familiar characters. And there's moments in this where you're like, oh, is this scene going to go on? Nope, we're done.
Nope.
That's
we're
the action scene.
On.
Yeah. That's it.
The action scenes are incredible. It starts off incredible with
just
like super hype action scene. The team is amazing. There's actually quippy dialogue throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
The female kind of love interest is not really a love interest. She's a fucking badass and rivals Tom Cruise. And for the first time, you believe it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But
the music's amazing.
The
bad guy's
really
awesome.
Yeah.
Every single action set piece is fucking fantastic. Rogue Nation, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Sweet.
Released on July 31st, 2015. Directed by Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah. So I think he was a writer prior to this. And the story, if I remember correctly, goes like, he was just hanging out with Tom Cruise one day, and Tom was like, hey, would you want to direct the next one? And he's like, sure, like thinking it was not going to happen. And then he said, literally, Tom got up, went to the other room, made a call, came back, goes, cool, you're directing Mission Impossible 5.
That's
what it sounds like happened. And because they worked together on a whole bunch of other movies, including Edge of Tomorrow,
that's right.
Great movie. That
Christopher McQuarrie directed The Way of the Gun, Jack Reacher, and
two
we'll go on
movies,
to do
yeah.
Mission Impossible Fallout.
Well, yeah. By the way, if you've never seen The Way of the Gun, it's actually a really cool movie. It's Ryan Phillippe, Benicio del Toro movie. It's just about two gunslingers in modern day. It's like a modern day like gunslinging western, but set in Norman now. It's fucking really, really cool, really stylized
that
movie.
Sounds cool.
And then, of course, Jack Reacher. The first Jack Reacher was actually really good. The second one was a made for TV TNT movie, which was like, I don't super know how upsetting. They got away with that. It's just terrible.
Emma Corr is also working on 7 and 8.
No shit. Yeah. See, God. They hit it.
They
man.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
I got chills when you just said that. Yeah. Let's fuck it. I He's can't wait. Yeah. It's so hard to not watch Fallout right now. I'm like, what? I need
you got to you gotta give it a little breath because Fallout is let's put it this way. They figured out the formula on this one. Dude, and they may or may not have perfected it.
That's my thing. People have been telling me for so long, like, they figured it out in 3, or oh, they figured it out in 4. No, they figured it out in 5. And I feel like I was betrayed and lied to. And that's why I was kind of like, I don't know, guys. I think you're wrong. Nah,
I disagree, feel like 4 man. Was the first one where it's like, hey, here's the world. We're setting it up. And when it ends with like, oh, here's Vic, you know, like, this is going to be the crew. For me, it was like Ghost Protocol is one of my favorites of the series because of how clever all of the action scenes were and how they built tension with that hotel scene. The walking through the hallway with that hologram thing, I think is just like one of the coolest things I've seen. I think we should rank the gadgets also. Like at the end of this, dude, maybe figure out a way. Cause
number one gadget one I'm going to put right now is the thing they put on the glass. They put on the glass and they turn it on and it just fucking disintegrates everything.
Yeah.
Which by the way, total like show off move by Ethan on this one. He could have just broke the glass, but he looks at her. He's like,
yeah.
Like, I got cool gadgets. She's like, we don't care. I don't care.
Released on July 31st, 2015. Like I said, budget of $150 million. Box office of $682.7 million. Yeah. Runtime of 2 hours and 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in a Mission Impossible movie, and first time in maybe ever in movie history, where me and Gia were watching this, and we had to pause it to do something else for a second. And I paused it and we still had like 45 minutes left. And I was like, thank God.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
fucking God.
Awesome.
Because I want more of this.
Because I hadn't watched the movie in a really long time. Probably not since it came out in theaters, truth be told. And I was like, oh, right. They have to do that. Oh, right. They have to do that. Like, there's so many little missions that they go on that are fun, but they don't beat you over the head in this. And I think that's the big difference between 5 and 4 is that 4, they're like, we're going to draw a lot. Even doing the plot synopsis for this was a lot easier because they were like, hey, here's what we got to go after. Here's where it is. Here's how hard it is. Done. Mm-hmm. No, this is not as convoluted as the other one. We're not getting this guy to get the access code to get this thing, but then this guy's got to do this. We just got to jump into this giant tank and fucking change this drive. Why? I don't know. Because it's fucking cool and really scary. That's it. And then we're done. And then we go on to the thing. We got to get the prime minister. And then we're done. And that's a cool scene, too. And well, Alec motherfucking Baldwin's in this.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Well, we also get the breakdown scene of, like, this is how it's going to go down.
But they've perfected it at this
like,
point.
But, like, in this show,
failing.
Well, they're like, it fails. We have to work another plan. And they don't do the same breakdown thing.
Yeah.
Then the other plan is what we get to see happen.
Yeah. It's cool. I like this. I feel like, again, this is what you get when you let a team like do their thing for 5 movies and they figure out the stride, they figure out the style. And the same thing you saw in like Fast and Furious with like, oh, this is what this is. There can be varying degrees of it, but we're going to probably not stray too far away from this cool formula because it's fun.
It's fantastic. Nick?
Plot, 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 plot. Just a short version of it.
Because we're sick, getting right to it. Ladies and gentlemen, get ready because the music is starting to build and we are going straight into motherfucking Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. What does that mean? I don't know, but I bet 70 minutes from now someone will say
they'll
let us know what a Rogue Nation is.
Dude, but the music starts playing as we see the Splash logos coming up and I was just like, already.
Like, what is going on? Like, and I love it because we're just getting right fucking into it, ladies and gentlemen. We are in Minsk, Belarus. Where is that? I don't fucking know. I didn't bother to look up on a map. But let me tell you, we're in this really pretty field, and Benji straight up copying Josh McCuga's bit. If I was Josh McCuga, I'd be hella pissed because he's in the middle of this beautiful field in a ghillie suit, and he pops up, and it's Benji. Hey, what's going on, man? And they're talking, and he's communicating back into Langley with Brandt, who now is the interim IMF secretary, while they're trying to pick another guy. And he's like, look, just so you fucking know, the package is on the plane. And Benji's like, I know the package is on the plane. Plan A didn't work. Plan B also didn't work. We're actually on plan C right now. And he goes, you have to get that package off that plane. Hammers it home. Brandt kind of a little bit of like a whiner in this scene, mm-hmm. but that's okay. That's kind of his role. By the way, meanwhile, Luther chimes in.
Yeah,
and
he
Brandt's
is.
Like, Luther, what the fuck are you doing here? He's on a tower in Malaysia. He's like, they call me. I'm helping out. I'm on another gig, but I'm helping out.
Dude,
it's cool.
I love this though.
I didn't say I needed help. I needed assistance. They're different things.
But they got. We're trying to cripple the plane remotely. I'm hacking in with this tower. Luther's helping out. And the idea here is that they're going to try to take the plane before it can take off. But guess what? The propellers start whining. And these propellers are really, really cool looking. And they're really ominous. And this plane's crazy looking. And it's going. The package is on the fucking plane. You got to get the package off the plane. Let's see. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You thought you were going to have to wait.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to have to fucking wait.
Someone's going to pull their face off or something.
Run
no.
Full out.
He's running no. already, baby.
Just plan C is jump on, get onto the fucking plane. And they have a great back and forth where he's like, I'm on the plane. And Benji's like, you're in the plane? He goes, no, I'm on the plane. Open the door. And so finally they hack the ship, the thing. And the plane just starts taking off. And this is where... we get like the arguably the coolest shot.
The trailer
so far.
Shot.
The trailer shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The moment in the trailer where everyone's like, did I think I wasn't going to see this movie? Because I was wrong.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise hanging off the side of this amazing cargo plane as it literally takes off.
In the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah, not even.
It's like, oh shit.
And Benji's watching this happen and he's like, shit. And it just is an amazingly long shot of him just hanging off this, literally hanging off the side of this plane. Benji, of course, hacks into the system. Opens the door, but it's the wrong door. And Tom Cruise is like, it's the wrong door. Open the right door. Finally opens the right door. And Tom Cruise just fucking ping-pongs inside.
It sucks him in.
It looks so hard.
I had to watch that like 5 times just to be like, Jesus.
Because he like bounced off metal. At one point, he just bounced off metal. And almost falls off the
wall. I just picture this show. Like, just super dead.
And then we get a great comic second where he looks and he finally sees what the package is. And the package is a biohazard. It's VX gas bombs or missiles, whatever the hell they are. And he's looking at him, and then we get another great beat where the guy's like, hey, there's something wrong in the back. So the soldier gets up and comes in to check something and looks over, and Tom Cruise is just there, like, not expecting to be seen, and just kind of tethering himself to the package, and he goes, and then pops the chute and gets sucked out. And as he gets sucked out, bum, bum,
bum, bum, Jesus.
We get the theme.
Fucking God.
The theme never gets old, dude.
But it's like not just the theme, ladies and gentlemen. It's a fucking
steroids,
nasty
thing. Holy shit.
This is like trumpets that are just like, dude, we've been up all night doing God knows what, and we're ready to go. And of course, my favorite thing is back. We get the preview montage of what's happening in the movie.
It's actually great scenes.
It's really cool scenes. Very, very fun.
Before you go on, Nick, let me give you some facts. Choose to accept them? This one's a little long, but there's a lot of stuff here that I feel like is worth saying.
Sure.
Tom Cruise performed a sequence where Ethan Hunt climbs on the outside of a flying
fucking
airplane,
psychopath.
An Airbus A400M, without the use of visual effects or stunt double. At times, he was suspended on the aircraft 5,000 feet in the air. Tom Cruise stated in an interview that it was his intention to do the stunt hanging onto the plane in a way to outdo himself after the Khalifa climb stunt in Mission Impossible. Ghost Protocol. However, his idea raised objections by the crew due to safety.
Oh shit.
Being a certified pilot himself, he wanted to get the feel of being out on the wing or on the side of the airplane. A major obstacle to filming would be bird strikes.
Oh yeah. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, that would suck.
And wind resistance on the runway. To capture the action, a wind-resistant custom frame for the camera was built and mounted onto the left wing of the plane. The other major problem would be keeping Cruise's eyes open in the presence of fast wind and runway particles, so his eye specialist designed a special lens that can cover the entire eyeball. 8 takes of the stunt were filmed. Christopher McQuarrie was very concerned that the actor might panic suddenly, but was assured by Cruise to not stop filming until the stunt had been finished.
Tom Cruise
was struck in the body by a small pebble while filming one of the takes, hanging from the plane. Cruise claimed that the impact hurt so badly he was certain that he had been badly injured and was afraid to look once the take was over. Fortunately, the pebble merely embedded in his clothing and he was amazed by how small it was. Tom Cruise was injured 6 times during the making of this movie.
God bless him.
God bless him.
And then just a little fun fact here. This is the first Mission Impossible film in which every member of the team is a veteran of at least one previous installment.
That's great. And that's so great. You feel that. Honestly, that doesn't surprise me. There's a scene later where he's straight up fucking tearing around the Mid-Atlas Mountains in Morocco on a bike, and it's him doing it.
Yeah.
Like, he's just rocking that shit, dropping knees left and right. And I'm like, dude, that's legitimately him. There's no trailer. He's not on a trailer or anything. It's just him fucking
The crash
doing it.
Seems so painful,
God.
Too.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in London, England right now, and Tom Cruise comes out of the tube, as they call it, and heads for the Vinyl Offer. Very cool record store. And if we ever go, when we go to London, we should check out if it's a real store, because it looked like it was cool. Of course, encounters a really young shop girl, and they start speaking code right off the bat.
She's a X-Wing pilot in Last Jedi.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah. She's one of like sort of the randoms that they cut to every once in a while.
Did you know the Sand Snakes are too? Like two of the Sand Snakes from Game of Thrones. Yeah, it might be in Rogue One, but like they're pilots in Star Wars.
That's cool.
That's cool.
They have this cool, she's like, what are you looking for? Classically. He's like, jazz. And they have this cool back and forth. And it's, of course, all code for like, I am who I'm supposed to say. And it ends with, why do you know why they call him Shadow? And he goes, because he's got a light touch, which I thought was really cool. I wrote that down. So she gives him a record and it's a mission briefing. But before she does, she kind of fangirls out on him a little bit. She's like, it's really you. Like, what's up? You know, yeah. Talking about, like, I heard you're single now.
And
like,
he
what's
just doesn't
up?
Say
and
anything.
He's like, inappropriate.
No words. You know, just looks just like,
she says, like, all the stories can't be true or something. He just kind of smiles.
Yeah.
Like, what stories are you even hearing? Because the ones about my endowment, very true.
The ones about my dick, yep. Five
that
inches.
Five and a half, and not working anymore because I'm getting the shit beat out of me for five movies straight. He goes in the booth, of course, and this record is, of course, the mission briefing, which is really cool. Puts it on the record, puts his hand on it, and then this holographic image comes up and starts talking about the syndicate, man. Listen, Ethan suspects, just as you suspected, there's a shadowy organization you've been tracking for the last year. It's the syndicate, which, by the way, I believe we heard of at the end of four. Right? They talked about that, which I thought was cool because I actually committed to that, which is cool. Normally, we'd assemble your team for you, Ethan, but guess what? That's not going to happen because we are the fucking syndicate.
You motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
Whoa,
now we know who you are and where you are. And it's like,
what a twist.
What a great
dude.
Little twist.
Love that.
Guess what, motherfucker? You come after us, we're going to kill you. You fuck with us, we're going to fucking kill you. That's all that's going to happen. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to face your fate. Of course, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds, and then gas starts filling the room up, and he looks over right as we see the antagonist in this whole movie, which is Solomon Lang, and he's holding the girl
hostage.
It's
like Mitch McConnell.
The creepiest motherfucker. Why does he talk that way?
I'm Solomon
Lang. It's such
Lang.
A creepy voice.
We have to kill you, Ethan.
We have to kill you,
Ethan. You're almost there.
We have to kill you, Ethan.
You're almost there.
Ethan.
It's very, very much like that.
In a baller-ass like move, and probably the most terrifying thing, as Ethan's trying to burst his way out of this gas and he's starting to pass out, Solomon, of course, just puts one in the back of the shop girl's head. And then, straight up, just puts the gun down. Like, I don't need it anymore. I've already done what I need to do. And that's important because this whole scene's important because we're going to reference it later. Ethan then passes out, and we go over to a Senate committee, secret Senate committee hearing over in Washington, D.C., where none other than the man, the myth, the legend himself, Alec Baldwin, has joined the team. And he's testifying in front of the Senate committee saying, basically, this IMF team, this is all bullshit, man. You got to shut this shit down. He has a nice before and after shot to punctuate his argument of the Kremlin. He's like, this is what it looked like before the IMF. This is after. Which I was like, this is unnecessary, okay? It wasn't their fault.
It was totally not their fault. It was a terrorist attack that was like, put on them, like made to look like it was them, but it wasn't them. We found that out.
But that's like in Civil War with them showing all the Avengers, like, here are all the cities y'all fucked up. Like, right. Check all this shit out.
But the idea here is Hunley's making the argument that, listen, the IMF forces, they're a rogue entity out there, and most of the shit they do wouldn't, like, all of this stuff is consequential of the actions that they've taken. So it's like a Batman Joker thing, right? Batman starts dressing in costumes, and all of a sudden they start dressing in costumes, and it's all escalation, and he makes an argument that a lot of the shit they do, pure dumb luck. Which I was like, how dare you, sir? It's skill-based. And then I watched the rest of this movie and I go, you know what? Yeah. A lot of it is
solid
luck.
Point.
Yeah. A lot of it is luck. He's making a solid point. Of course, Brandt says, I can neither confirm nor deny any of the details of this.
Without my secretary's permission.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Let's see. And then, of course, we cut away from that. Hunley wins the day because they go, guess what? The IMF force, done.
Out of luck.
Done. Yeah. What does he say? I think I wrote it down here. He's like, this is, it doesn't matter.
Today
come back
the
to it.
Luck runs out.
Yeah, that's what it is. The committee is hearing you shit out of luck. And today is the day your luck ran out. So the IMF force is done. Of course, fulfilling Tim's prediction that, of course, the IMF force, not going to be a thing in this one. You're done. We find Ethan shirtless and kind of sweaty hot, tied to a pole. I don't know why I wrote that.
Kind of sweaty hot.
He must have been a typo. Mistype.
Also, this next line, am I the only one who got rock hard at the side of this? I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah.
His chest is ridiculous.
He looks good in this. Yeah. He looks real good in this.
I mean, he's definitely getting older, but I feel like his chest has only gotten wider.
He's really
to, like,
building his
put
body
more out. Muscles yeah. in there.
He has the really good, like, Everything. Like arm going to the like it looks it's when he's hanging up, it looks really
good. Shadowy figure walks in, and it's a female. She starts putting all sorts of needly stuff on the table in front of him. And she actually has a key, which is attached to, you guessed it, a rabbit's foot, which I thought was a nice little callback to Mission Impossible.
Wait, hold on. His shirt's off, right?
His shirt's
Were they born in labs? Now it's time to rank those abs.
He looks really good in this. And I'm going to put his abs, Tom Cruise abs, in Mission Impossible Rogue Nation number one.
Wow.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Solid abs.
He's probably the only person who's been shirtless in this so far. Of course, Sean Ambrose, I think, was shirtless at one point. Sean Ambrose. But they were all super skinny because that was the 90s. Early 2000s. Looks at the key, looks at him. Of course, she turns around, and it is Rebecca Ferguson.
Ilsa Faust.
Ilsa Faust. Of course, starts taking off her shoes, starts rolling up her sleeves, and you're like, she's gonna fuck him up. What is she gonna do to
him? Why did she take off the shoes?
Because she was like, gonna have fuck to you, fuck Jurassic World. Up.
Like, these movies came out around the same time.
It's not practical.
It's not practical. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Also, love her style of fighting in this because it's very, very much like, I'm just gonna climb on top of you and bop you in the fucking head.
Like Black Widow.
It's great. Very much Black Widow.
When she climbs on top of the dude and stabs him, it was like, holy shit.
And then, but not only stabs him, but then rides him down as he falls.
That was
brutal. Of course, a bunch of other dudes come in and they're like, this is man work. And they start speaking Swedish to her and just talking hella shit.
They're just saying some shit. But who are these men? What are their nicknames? The Bone Doctor?
Well, we meet Vinter, who is also known as the Bone Doctor. And he starts gut punching. Also, at one point, I think, because I was so tired last night, I started filing him away as the Bone Collector, which is just a fabulous Angelina Jolie Denzel Washington movie. So if I say that by accident, I apologize, everyone out there listening to my voice.
You're doing your best Greg impersonation.
It's
right
fair.
There.
The Bone Collector starts beating the shit out of Ethan. Ethan says, or tells the girl she should leave before this gets ugly. Or actually, Ethan says that you should leave before this gets ugly, and she shows Ethan the key. And it's like, well, you're like, oh, maybe Ilsa's not as bad as we think she is.
I feel like everyone in the room should have been like, what the fuck are you doing?
What's that?
Like, you just show him the key?
Well, she didn't, like, she kind of like palmed it, was like, I'm gonna fucking get you out of here. But like, no one else saw because Victor's too busy.
There were four guys like standing.
But dude, you don't understand how steroids work, man. It goes, they were fucking blinds,
dude. Yeah. They were just looking at those abs, man. They were like, I wanna punch them.
Yeah.
This is a great scene. Ethan continues to double kick people, which I like a lot. Mm-hmm. Double kicks Victor into the fucking pipe.
Oh, and man, then that looked painful.
She gets in the key and then she starts fucking people up. Just throwing.
But also, really, again, I am very, very lucky. Ethan didn't know that he would kick him and he would fall and
hit the
get
pipe.
Concussed into a pipe.
Didn't
like,
he?
But
didn't he?
Exactly. There were also Ethan four other guys there. So I think like Ethan in his mind was like, I'm going to put some damage on this guy and then I'll figure everything else out.
I
don't think he knew.
I'll put some damage on the boss. I'll take care of the ads later.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
What's great is that, so she starts fighting and you're like, oh, she's a fucking trained operative. She can hold her own.
Ass.
Great fighting style, but is outmanned here. What does Ethan do? He tries to get the key. He can't get the key. He looks up, sees that the pole has nothing else. And must have literally done this because
I don't know
how a human being could do this, but literally hops up the pole. Laterally.
Oh my God.
It was
down.
So cool.
Flips off.
I couldn't handle it, man.
He just flips over and then, starts pulling himself up, like jumping.
Like, I don't know how it is.
Yeah.
But flips over, kicks a dude, lands on Ilsa's tum-tum, and they have a little moment.
That's all he does,
like,
right?
It was some straight up like American Ninja Warrior stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Jesus.
They kick the shit out of everyone. Of course, there's two dudes outside that are completely fucking useless, but everyone goes down, and Ethan has a great line. He looks at her, and he's like, we haven't really met before, have we? Like, have we met before? Like, do I know you? Because you're hucking a brother fucking up right now. And it's super cool. Of course, what's up?
They do show, like, the outside guys when they start beating up Ethan, kind of, like, go to the dorm, like, oh, these people are getting beaten up in there.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like that's why it's clear that they're not coming in. Do the other guys have guns, though? The other four dudes?
Lots of people have guns. Either way,
like a gun would be really useful.
Ilsa helps him get down to the catacombs down below, and then as they're walking away, she shuts the gate and goes, I gotta go back in. And he's like, what are you doing? We gotta go. And she's like, I gotta go back in. You gotta just get the fuck out of here. Bye.
You killed them all, not me.
Yeah, you killed them all, not me. And then she goes, you got about 5 seconds, then I'm gonna tell him where you are. Proving that she is on his side. Maybe we don't know, but she wanted to get... We don't know what's going on with her. She's a mercurial character.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. But again, what I love about it is we don't know what's going on with her, but in a fun way, not in a like, we have no fucking clue. It's just more like, we know you're either this, or this, but you could be a little bit of all three. And it's like, that's fun.
And shout out to the actress, Rebecca Ferguson, here, because I think she's awesome.
Great job.
Very, very good energy.
Literally, like I said earlier, she matched Tom Cruise.
Yep.
Like, I believed in her being as badass as the guy that just fucking jimmied off the pole.
And I don't know her background.
I jimmy off the pole, though.
But she moves, man. She can move. Yeah. Ethan, of course, goes up and calls Brant. Says, go secure, and they have a cool moment. All the cell phones in this, I think, are really cool at this point. The London terminal is compromised. The shop girl is down. All I have to go off is a face. And they want wanted information from me. They want to know who we are, how we operate, yada, yada, yada. But he figured out one important thing where he recognized the bone collector as a guy who he thought was dead. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, I need you to start looking, gathering intel on former operatives as long as they're dead or presumed dead, and start with this bone doctor guy. And Brant's like, yo, man, I got some hard news I got to tell you. Your parents are dead. You knew that. From three, but also the IMF done. We're shut done down
again.
Sorry, dude. You gotta. He's like, and then Ethan gets it. He realizes this is gonna be a much longer mission than I thought it was gonna be. You never had this call. Forget I called.
You lost contact with me.
Delete my cell phone number and stop sending me dick pics.
Yeah,
we're done.
Unfriend me on Facebook. Unfollow me.
And then Brant goes, "Can you find the man you saw?" And then Ethan goes, "I won't stop until I do," because he killed the shop girl and she was kind of, you know, she was cute. And he goes, "Good, because this might be our last mission, Ethan. Make it count. But first, maybe take care of that fucking bullet wound in your stomach, because you got shot in the stomach."
He got shot in the stomach.
Yeah, he's like, ugh.
Oh,
right?
Shit.
Oh, yeah. Then we get the cut.
Yeah, well, no, not yet. But then we have a nice scene between Brant and Huntley, where Huntley accuses Hunt of making up the syndicate, being both the arsonist and the firefighter or whatever that was. Huntley's going to find him. Set your watch, Brant. Ethan Hunt is living his last day as a free man. And Alec then it cuts
Baldwin, dude,
to 6 months later. Which I thought was a great line. What a great comedic beat where it's so, like, last day, we're fighting him today, and then it's 6 months later. And I think they're in Cuba at this point. We don't get a Chiron, but later he makes reference to the fact that we tracked Hunt down to Cuba. So I think they're in Havana right now.
Yeah, it's at Havana.
Get a Chiron for Havana.
Well, no, it just said 6 months later. I don't think I rewound it. I didn't see it.
At some point, we got Havana.
Yeah.
Did it say Havana? Well, great. We're in Havana. I nailed that part. We cut to Ethan, and he's doing all sorts of body exercises.
Got a beard, dude.
Beard.
Why?
Jacked out.
It's weird. To tell you time's passed, and he hasn't been taking care of himself.
But they told us time passed.
It's true. They said 6 months later. He's doing all sorts of push-ups. Back at Langley, we're intercutting here, where Brant is now the bitch boy of Alec Baldwin, and they're running an op. We see a bunch of operatives come out of the cars, and they're going to go get Ethan, and we're like, oh, no, what's going to happen? They go up the stairs, and Ethan's just, he doesn't speak anything because he's doing his calisthenics, he's doing his workout, and they break in, and of course Ethan's not in there. No, where's Ethan? Ethan looks over and we see the Eiffel Tower. He's in fucking Paris, dude. Yeah, you gotta get up pretty early in the morning, man, if you want to get old Ethan Hunt.
It was a fun little moment.
Very code.
There's another part I forgot in here where Alec Baldwin has a great line where he's like, the first time I heard about the IMF was when I started at Langley, when they had just broken into the CIA headquarters.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I was like, that's a cool line.
World building,
like,
man.
These guys they don't fuck around. Like, they're all over the place. Of course, Ethan's watching them on a cell phone that he had set up, which with no power, which I thought was interesting. How long has that cell phone been out there? A lot. Doesn't matter.
It's a Nokia, dude. Those things last forever.
Of course, we see a hand-drawn picture of Ilsa and Solomon Lang. These are the only two faces he remembers, and those are the ones he's tracking down. We see a bunch of other operatives, and we see a bunch of news clippings of things that have happened that were quote-unquote accidents, but had world-ending consequences for the economies or the something
those
happened.
Areas. Like,
banks going down.
Civil
fire,
war.
There's an airplane that went down. That all of these things caused some sort of something economic or destabilization, and Ethan thinks that's all part of the syndicate.
Reminded me a lot of Unbreakable.
Of Unbreakable. Yeah, a lot sense. Of Quantum of Solace also. Just going to put that out there.
That movie sucked.
They're taking a lot of Quantum of Solace.
And remember, made it
good.
Good
parts.
Quantum was this organization that did that, but not quite as fun. And then we cut over to Benji, who was just senselessly pimping Halo 5.
Sponsored by Halo.
Brought to you by Halo 5. Nice product placement.
I need
down
a
there.
Weapon.
Benji, of course, just out in the middle of this thing. And then as people pass, switches over his monitor like he's not playing. But everyone's like, Benji, we saw you playing.
You're
the biggest
music.
Fucking monitor and ever. Yeah, we saw you from loud. The other side of this
console
room.
Scrub,
somebody comes in and hands Benji an envelope that says, and he opens it up and says, congratulations, you've won free tickets to the Vienna Opera. And he's very excited and not at all suspicious.
Not at all suspicious.
At all. No, I'm very glad about this. Come on. Then he gets a call from upstairs and he goes, oh, it's that time again. God damn it. And he goes up and we discover that he's been being grilled on a weekly basis by Hunley. Hey, have you heard from Ethan? Have you had any contact? They're making him take a lie detector test, which we don't really get But he hasn't heard from him, so I guess he's passing this test on the up and up.
No, because he definitely is like, I don't owe anything to him.
Right.
He's not my friend. He's not my friend.
Yeah, how does he do it?
Those are all lies. I assume he's stepping on a thumbtack, you know, the classic trick.
The classic trick, right? Basically, Huntley's like,
I'm unfamiliar with this classic trick.
You step on a thumbtack to, like, cause your body to have, like, a reaction so that when you're lying.
So it sets a baseline. Yeah.
That's so you tell the truth, but you step on this thumbtack.
And it's always high anyway.
Or you clench your asshole.
Oh, you, if you real guys, if you want to really do it the real way, you put the thumbtack in your asshole.
And then clench that fucker,
because they check your shoe. When you go to the CIA headquarters, they check your shoe, but they won't check your asshole. And maybe they get a little pinprick, and you go, "Congratulations, now you've got hepatitis."
I was thinking of Step Brothers, where he's like, "I calmed my, or I use ninja focus to slow my heart rate." That's what I was picturing.
That's what he does.
Of course, Huntley starts showing him pictures of all these things, and they're like, "Ethan's the bad guy," and he goes, "I don't." He's like, "You guys have it all fucking wrong, okay? Ethan's out there doing God knows what, and I'm in here day after day, shutting down cases, solving shit, and paying for his fucking sins. You think I'm his friend? I'm not his friend. I hate that motherfucker," right? Of course, lying through his teeth, because we know that Benji loves him. And then Benji gets back to his desk, sees the opera tickets, and goes, "You know what? Fuck this place. Daddy's going on vacation to Vienna, Austria," right? That's where you go, because you got these free tickets. Why bother asking any questions? Looks fucking fantastic in this suit. He's very happy-go-lucky. Yeah. Gets off the tube, about to go up to the opera. Gets about 5 feet.
Yeah.
Not even 3 paces, and someone slaps his chest with an envelope. Guess what, motherfucker? You're on a mission.
And immediately I pictured that the San Andreas meme that's going around, the, oh shit, here we go again.
This, of course, is great. He gets a playbill for this the opera, which I can't remember what it's called, and it's probably, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
He gets a playbill, and then he gets glasses, puts them on. "Hey, Benji, what's up?" And he's like, "God damn it, Ethan. Like, basically, not for nothing, you've just fucked up my entire life. You've just fucked me. I am now an international terrorist. By just doing this, I'm screwed. I'm disavowed. How dare you?" But he's actually pretty delighted because he knows he's on a mission, which is great.
It's just so silly that, like, he had no idea that this was going to happen. You know?
I think he had some level. He looked genuinely shocked.
And, like, also, he looked genuinely excited when he won the thing. I wonder if he was trying to win it beforehand.
Who knows? Probably not. But it doesn't matter. Maybe Ethan just knows he's a big opera fan. Ethan says, "Look, here's how it is. It's a very simple thing. I need you up there, eye in the sky. Solomon Lang's going to be here. We know that. I need you looking through all the people in the audience till we find him, and then we're going to take him out, and then you're going to just go home. You're going to get on a plane. No one's going to know you were here. That's it." He has this great line where he's like, "That's all you want me to do is just look at faces? I thought you could have given me something more dramatic." And he goes, "You want drama? Go to the opera."
Yes.
And of course he walks up, and it's this amazing opera. We walk by the Chancellor of Austria, where he's like, "Please tell me it's a coincidence that the Chancellor of fucking, like, this giant foreign dignitary is here at this opera right now. At the same time, we're looking for international terrorists. Otherwise, we're like, this is not good." Of course, we see a police officer who's just standing there, and God, is he good looking. Holy shit, this dude. You can see this dude's dick from his chin. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
Abs
about.
Abs all day, every
dick
day.
Dick from his chin.
I don't know
chin.
Who you're talking about.
You
didn't see Hottie McHotterton in the fucking Polizei outfit? Well, we're going to get to him in a second.
Okay, cool.
Let's see. Benji starts setting up camp, takes out the playbill. Like, actually, first, he uses his phone to unlock the door, which is really fucking cool.
Yeah.
I like that they don't make any. They're like, "We just got the tech now. It's
stuff.
10 years
it's
later.
Cool.
Door open. We see the lock mechanism on the digital
awesome.
Screen. Really cool. Opens up the playbill, and guess what? It's a laptop computer.
Honestly, you talking about coolest tech? I think this might be
my
favorite.
Yeah.
Because I saw it, I'm like, this is so cool. I love that it was black and white. Like, it was just so fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's
really
thoughtful.
Cool.
You didn't
really,
think
really
the,
cool.
the, like, opening the doors of the car with their palms was the coolest
cool
fucking
too.
Thing?
No, I mean,
I
this,
want that well, technology so bad.
I feel like we're there, right? In Teslas.
No, they don't. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Well, the window looks
I wanted to have want, a, yeah. an obnoxiously, overtly overdone, like, moment where circles come around
yeah.
and digital
Got
stuff
it.
Reads out about
yeah.
my hand.
We need
I don't
circles.
Want it to just be a palm print and the door opens.
Right.
That's stupid. Mm. What's the point?
You guys are making sense.
I want that extra shit.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, and it's not on the glass either. The glass is the coolest thing. You would think that maybe that if someone broke that glass, very expensive to repair.
Yeah, you would
this
imagine.
This whole playbill thing, like the digitized look, reminds me of like those the e-ink e-readers.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it looks like black and white.
Yeah,
like
a
looks
Kindle?
Like paper. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
Of course, Benji taps into the system and starts looking through faces in the crowd. Meanwhile, who should arrive? It's Ilsa. And this lime green dress she's wearing is fucking
everything.
Fantastic.
Stunning. It's everything.
I'm going to take a second here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what she does for her workouts, but it's working. I'm guessing squats and deadlifts, if I had to guess, because her legs, her thighs.
I picture her just murdering guys.
And her fucking just back muscles. Yeah. Dude, her muscles are on fucking point in this. She is jacked. She has those shoulders that I've always wanted, but I just don't have the dedication.
She looks like she's part of the climbing community.
Dude, I don't know what she does. She looks fucking great in this. She walks up in this dress, and it's awesome. Let's see. Ethan does the same thing where he picks a lock on his phone, goes behind the stage, and spots the dude, this blonde guy, Blondie McBlonderton, that I think also Benji may have spotted and said, hey, this guy's doing some weird shit. Yeah. Go over, take a look at him. This guy's got a giant flute. I don't know what this instrument is, but it's really cool.
Yeah, why is it like three flutes put together?
I don't know. I thought it was an oboe at first, but I was like, well, no, this is
just
a flute.
Was it not just one flute? I thought it was like this big when he picked
it
up.
No, it had like other pipes and shit in it.
It was like this big.
Is it?
It was long. Yeah, this thing was like this long.
Flutes are tiny.
I don't know. I've never played a flute.
Well, all of Tim's friends growing up did.
Yeah, all
so
of
Tim
them
knows.
Did.
It's true. Ethan goes backstage to do that while Ilsa sets up, and we get a lot of different things happening here.
And it's all amazing. This whole scene with the opera playing, like everything about this, I'm like, this is fucking rad as hell.
That guy takes a
gun.
Rad as hell.
Ilsa moves a pipe and takes a gun out of that, which is cool. It makes a little pipe gun, which is dope. She sets up in a pagoda and looks up and sees the Chancellor, right? Mm-hmm. And then does this thing where I don't know if this is what they teach you in sniper school, but she puts her foot up on the counter and just kind of leans into the shot. And I'm like, I just want to stay in this moment forever.
Looks like it was an alto flute.
Alto flute. That makes sense. Very, very long flute. That makes sense. I was going to say oboe, but alto flute, that makes sense.
Bunch of different pieces.
Ilsa takes a clear shot of Emperor Palpatine over there, or Chancellor Palpatine, whatever the fuck it is. Meanwhile, Benji spots Hottie McHotterson, fucking sweet dick cop upstairs in the lighting booth.
That's the guy that you thought was so hot.
Oh, fucking, this guy's good. Bring up a fucking picture of this guy. This guy is. Like,
I don't think Barrett could find
this
it.
This guy is a fucking stunner of a human
disagree,
being.
I
right?
disagree, though. I don't think this guy.
Yeah,
he's got a jawline.
No, I'm not talking about Blondie McFluterton back
no,
in the back.
Yeah,
I'm talking about
a security guard with the other sniper.
What are we going to use this nightstick for? Hottie Polizei officer.
What was his gun?
Nightstick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard nice dick.
You hear
what
you want to hear.
What are we going to use this nice dick for?
You hear what you want to hear.
But like, did he have a weird gun too?
The other one had a weird gun in this.
Yeah. Because his gun.
Well, they had to sneak it into the opera.
Every time like it cut to it, I was like, did he
had a gun made of a couch.
Does he have one of those Super Nintendo?
It's all like different.
Yeah.
It's like a modular barrier. Yeah, yeah.
Ethan sees the blonde guy and he immediately takes his tie off, which I thought was a cool pro maneuver. He's like, ah, this is going to turn into some shit, right? Jumps down, starts fucking with the guy, grabs the flute. They stand up and Ethan's done standing up a good 5 seconds before the other guy's done standing up. This guy's tall as fuck. And Ethan's like, this is where I love this, because he's like, like he has this moment where he's like, fuck, this is going to hurt.
Or is the other guy just like 5'10"?
I mean, it's possible to talk to him a little short. Look at look at how fucking good looking that guy is.
I don't
is.
Like his face. Too much forehead.
You know why?
He's 29?
That's just his dick. You see what I'm saying?
I don't.
Wait, dude, how tall is Jeremy Renner? Because there are so many shots
5'9", 5'10".
Where him and Tom Cruise are eye to eye, and I'm like, is there some trickery going on here?
They sometimes wear lifts and stuff like that. Maybe there's an Apple Card.
How tall is Jeremy Renner?
I think he's 5'10".
Baird, cut back to the line.
5'9".
Yeah, there you go.
Which means he's probably 5'8". Because let's be honest, he wouldn't be the first quasi-celebrity to lie about his height. Ilsa's in the pagoda. She's doing things. She sees the dude. She has to make a choice, right? What's going on? Meanwhile, actually, no, she doesn't make a choice. She's just right
holding
on the Chancellor, right?
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise sees her and is like, shit, what's going on? Meanwhile, he's getting his ass kicked by this tall guy. Gets pounced off. Benji's trying to figure out what's wrong with the electrical. Keeps hitting the panel. All the things start going up and down.
This.
And you have this great moment where Tom's like, okay, Ethan's like, I have a second to relax. And then the panel starts rising and just brings him right to the bad guy. He's like, fuck.
Great use of sound the entire time.
Just more like clever writing and clever sort of choreography. Like, it's just great.
We get a great shot where the guy's like strangling him with the flute gun, and then the truss comes up and Ethan like puts his feet on it and just rides it up and flips over him and then kicks him off, which is violent. Takes the gun, looks up, realizes he sees Ilsa, but there's also a guy in the booth and doesn't know.
We get this shot right here.
We do get that shot right there. That's the shot I'm talking about with her foot up.
Oh, yeah.
Careful. Damn. Has to make a call. Who's he going to shoot? Does he trust Ilsa? Who's this hot cop? It'd be a shame to take him out of the world because
I could not be more in this scene.
DNA is great.
Like, I was there. I'm just like, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do?
What choice
does
he
fucking have? And the conclusion is so good.
Perfect. Smart choice. Looks over, shoots the Chancellor.
Hell yeah.
Right? Shoot the hostage, as we say in Speed. Right? If you're one in doubt, shoot the hostage. Wings him. All hell breaks loose. They pull the Chancellor out.
It's Ilsa just a flesh wound. They make sure to say that.
Just a flesh wound. Ilsa realizes she's missed her shot. Meanwhile, Benji's like, fuck this. I don't want, I'm getting in this shit. Jumps in, immediately gets his ass kicked by this dude, this cop in the lighting booth. But Ilsa comes and saves the day and shoots him in the back. And then he hits the deck because he's not sure what the hell's going on. He hits all the lights, blinds her. She bounces out, starts running away. Ethan starts running away, catches up with her. And he's like, hey,
need a way out
of this? Because I got one. Not a great way out, he should have probably prefaced, but a way out nonetheless. They go up as all the cops start raiding the building, and we see Solomon Lang for the first time because he's looking through the dude's, I forgot to mention, he's looking through the guy's ocular cavity. Mm-hmm. He's got one of those cool Jeremy Renner contact lenses in from the last movie, and he sees Ethan. He's like, hello, Ethan.
Which is another a really, really cool gadget. Yeah. Ghost Protocol. I love that fucking part.
But I like that they use it here. Don't really call a lot of attention to it. It's just like, hey, this is a thing we've already established.
I feel like they did call
it. Did
Ilsa
know that Tom Cruise was the one aiming?
No.
No.
I don't think she had seen him at all.
Right? Like, I mean,
she just knew she had to kill the
Chancellor. She was focused on one
thing. I think she saw a body, though, but I don't know if she
Yeah, she saw them fighting earlier. But like, didn't she?
I don't think so. She seemed oblivious to everything because she was in like part of the set.
Yeah.
So I don't think that she was like, because those people later we find out.
No, she wasn't oblivious to everything because she knew that there was two people there to check her ass.
I don't think she knew that. I think he confirms it to her.
I think he figured that out later.
Yeah. Because he tells her. He was like,
later in the car,
the other dude was
redundancy.
Safety. And then the other dude was to kill you.
Probably just kill you, period. Because let's be honest. Yeah. She is the least trustworthy part of the syndicate organization. Mm. This is not a person you really want working for you because she has proved time and time again that she cannot be trusted. Either way, they go up to the roof. We have a nice little moment where she sits for a second. She goes, shoes, and makes Ethan take her shoes off.
And he does, in one swoop, take two shoes off.
Hot.
What a badass.
Hot. Badass.
They go over to he's stolen, of course, a big spooling of rope. And they go over to this flagpole and he does a little cool tie to it, pulls it, and it yanks a little too, like, this is not stable.
No, not stable at all.
He's like, and then the cops burst in. He's like, we got to just go.
We're going.
Great moment with the music flares as he pulls her and they kind of rappel down with one hand as he's holding on to her, which is cool.
Yep.
They land, walk away casually as the pole just slams down behind him and they have a moment. And they're like, we're good.
Meanwhile, so here's a fact for you. This is the first Mission Impossible film not to feature the jump and hang scene made famous in Mission Impossible from 1996.
Yeah.
And I feel like this was the closest thing we got.
Enough. We don't need that.
There was also like, there's a moment where he puts the tie around his hand to slide down. And it's just like,
that's cool.
That's a cool little touch. Yeah. Because sliding down a rope would fuck your hand up. I don't know that a tie would do enough, but
you ever climb up a rope and it kind of makes your dick feel good?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
What was up with that? It's weird, right?
I mean, it's a weird phenomenon. Rubbing on your cock, you know?
What are you talking about?
He means like a pole.
No. I mean, like...
It's like the climbing the rope in gym class.
Yeah, ropes and like poles.
We didn't have...
It was weird. Like, as a kid, like, I was like, why?
Yeah, poles.
Feels good. It's weird.
Yeah. No, but I used to fuck my bed. So maybe
let's
that's the same thing.
We're moving on. No edge talking today.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Benji pulls up. He's like, get in the car. All hell's breaking loose. But before that happens, they look over and we get a quick shot of inside the Chancellor's car. And they look down and there's a briefcase in there and it just lights up for a second and boom, explodes. Boom.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Again, let's keep moving.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck happened? Benji pulls up and is like, get in the car. We fucked up, and I'm burned. I'm pissed off at you, but it doesn't matter. We get in the car. Tom goes, I got to search you. Sorry. Starts taking all sorts of stuff off, including this lipstick. And she's like, it's a very hard shade to find, so please be careful with that. Like, kind of like, hey, this is an important thing. Mm-hmm. And he goes, shit, I didn't see it coming. Obviously, like, did you know about the other people? This is where we get the conversation where she's like, listen, he's like, I know you're undercover. You must be an MI6 operative or something. Like, I know you're an operative. I know you're trustworthy. What the fuck's going on? She's like, you got to let me go. Right, I got to go back under. And he's like, I'm not going to send you back in there. She's like, you got to let me go. Of course, the guys start chasing him, start shooting after him. We get the realization that she was going to shoot the Chancellor. But there was a person there to make sure that if she didn't, he was going to shoot the Chancellor. And then the other guy was going to kill her. So that's where it goes. And then the bomb, of course, was a third redundancy. Overplanned maybe a little bit, but guess what?
Got the job done.
Needed.
Lane is a genius.
Lane
that's
is
his
a
whole
genius.
Thing. He understands every move that everyone's going to make.
It's very true.
I'm a genius, Ethan.
You're getting a lot closer.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's real good. And then the last fact I have, and this is kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but with this character, this Lane character, this is the first movie where Ethan doesn't have any physical contact with the enemy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's right. That's cool.
I love that I look over. And you're trying to get in character with the face. You were going to say something.
How's it
going?
He's going, Ethan, I want to touch you, Ethan.
Oh, man.
Creepy as shit. Creepy as shit. She's like, you got to let me go. Listen, they're behind me. You got to let me go. He's like, how am I going to find you? She goes, you got everything you need to find me. And then just hurls herself out of the car as they speed off.
Jeez, dude. Like, what a fucking
badass.
That looks
badass. So fucking
scabs,
painful.
Right?
Yeah. No,
look, because she tucked and rolled.
I mean, her shoulders are still.
Elongated and rolled.
Her
yeah,
shoulders
you,
are
you
still
get that rolling
asphalt.
Motion. It's a spy thing.
I've, like, fallen down barely, like, going fast on a rollerblade.
You're bruised for hours.
Tons of scabs and shit. Neosporin all night.
So... she bangs out and the syndicate car comes and picks her up. Meanwhile, Benji and Ethan go to the safe house, which is, I like the safe house because it's kind of a rundown boat.
Mm-hmm.
And even the safe house itself doesn't work.
No.
Proving that we're kind of getting to the end of whatever the MIF like resources are at his disposal. IMF, excuse me. And they get in and he goes, listen, here's what you're going to do, Benji. You're going to go home. You're going to tell him I duped you into this. I kidnapped you or whatever. Just mm-hmm. burn me. Tell him everything. Be honest. And just
tell him I was there to kill the dude.
Yeah, tell him I was there to kill the chancellor and just burn me. And Benji, proving that he's a fucking ride or die motherfucker, is like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm a part of this team. I'm your friend. More importantly, I'm your friend. And like, I'm not going to let you do this alone. And this is a very important mission. So why don't you just fucking tell me what's going on so I can help out? And he goes, okay, fine. And then they bring up the picture of all the operatives. And he's like, I've been tracking all these operatives. I've been tracking all these news things that seemingly are accidents, but I think they're all tracked back to the syndicate. And I think it's this one guy, but this guy, but I don't know who the fuck he is.
No lips, this guy.
Zero lips, which is super scary.
Yeah.
Basically, this team has been, it just wants to destroy the system from the inside out. They're the anti-IMF team. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It is. But they're getting cool. Crazy because killing the chancellor is not like them. Like Boldy just killing, assassinating a dignitary. This must be a new phase. And this Solomon guy is the link. He's always there. He's the key. Benji just is like, look, dude, I'm in. Okay. I think he says like, I can't protect you. I'm not your decision. I'm a field agent. God damn it. I passed the test. I know the risk. And more than that, I'm your friend. So I'm staying. And that's all we're going to say about that. And then Tom Cruise just looks over me and goes, okay.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. Yeah. That's it. We're in. Where do we start? Well, we got to find Ilsa. And she's like, how do we do that? And he figures out, of course, it's not just lipstick. This is a thumb drive. Very, very cool. I made a note here. Kevin, please buy a bunch of those lipstick thumb drives to the office because that's just fine.
Was
cool.
It a lipstick at all?
I don't know.
Kevin,
you know what I mean? I think it was a cool thumbstick.
Probably. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But either way, this
Kevin,
is a nice
can
little
you
touch.
Get me a thumb drive that looks like a Twang bottle?
Yeah.
And so like when I get beat up and I'll be like, hey, check out this. It's a good flavor.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find. Yeah. And I'll wink at you.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, it's just the lime flavor Twang. It's not hard
but
to find.
But you pop it into the computer.
And then when I pop it into the computer, I'm happy.
Why would you do that?
Yeah,
that
makes
sense. Has a USB ever done anything like that?
You can make it. Of course, Ilsa's back in a hotel and she has to face off against Solomon and some dude tries to touch her and she just fucking WWE
takes
his ass.
Him down.
Just takes his ass out. And then Solomon is basically like, you got to prove your worth to me.
He's like, you've let him go twice. You've seen him twice.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
And she's like, listen, I got it. I'm going to go fucking kill this dude. Like, I'll prove my worth to you. And he goes, and he points the gun at her, but instead kills the dude behind him.
Crazy.
For being sucking. Just sucking.
That felt really unfair.
It was unnecessary.
He's just killing him because, I guess she took you down. Like,
I just wanted to hear, like, fuck, ow!
Yeah.
That really hurt.
That really hurt.
I really wanted some, like, the other dude that's still alive being like, what the fuck was that for? Yeah. She was doing a great job!
And then she grills him and says, did Ethan say anything? And she goes, he knows about Morocco. He knows about the power plant, but he doesn't know what's in it. And she goes, well, how, and he's like, how are you going to find him? And she goes, don't worry, he'll find me.
Mm.
And we're not sure if she's good or bad in this. We're still like, oh,
yeah.
Okay.
What's happening?
Ethan,
it's turning
of course,
me on, though, I got to say.
Ethan and, I got to say,
it's really turning me on.
Ethan and Benji look at the thumb drive and find the schematics for something called a SCIF, a secure computer facility in Morocco. And guess where we're going next, ladies and gentlemen? That's right, Casablanca, Morocco. Which I actually don't think was Casablanca. I think that was Marrakesh. Or at least they filmed parts of it in Marrakesh. We'll get to that in a second. That's there where they go and they find, they go to this little cool like villa outside. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Find a note written in the lipstick shade, which I thought was nice.
Yeah.
So it's like, come on, dude, I'm in the pool. She's in the pool, of course, practicing breathing, and it's just not good enough. She can barely get to 2 minutes.
It's cool, though. It's like really that cool. Little sleeve that she that has on that's like real life.
I made another note. Kevin, please order by 8 of those. Because we need those cool sleeves. Yes. I need to know how much oxygen
they
I got
exist.
Left.
They're really, really cool.
One of us need them. And we each one of them need them at any given point. She's timing her breath, but it's not good enough. And let me tell you, dude, this is a great scene. All these people have such great chemistry. I made a note. They just have great chemistry.
They really do, man.
All of them in this one. Meanwhile, back in Langley, Brant meets up with Luther and fills him in. Says, dude, we got to find Ethan before the CIA goons do. And Luther isn't interested. He's like, dude, motherfucker, I've been through war with this dude. I'm not helping you burn this guy. I don't fucking know you, bro. I wasn't in the last movie. I don't fucking know you. And he goes, listen, we're going to find him and keep him safe because if Hunley finds him, it's open season. Like they've got a kill order on this guy. All I know. Luther goes, all I know is you chose to work for Hunley. And then Brant goes, all I know is that you chose to resign. Straight up calling him out. But then he also, I think it was a line that was probably written out. What he meant to say was, all I know is you chose to resign and dress like Indiana Jones. Because it was very weird what he was wearing.
And why not?
Very Indiana Jones.
Just give him his hat.
Another
his hat.
Quick thing that, like, what about timing? Because it in the last movie, we get that, like, Syndicate is introduced. Then in the beginning of this movie, they're like, he's been obsessed with Syndicate for a year, which means I would come to understand is that
well, he'd been, like, 6 months in since at the record shop. But he hasn't been able to prove. That's the problem with Syndicate.
What I'm saying is IMF was working... seems like at least a year from the last movie, which means that Vic Rames' character was probably on some teams or something to do with
freelancing.
Well, I mean, he was working at IMF at the time, right? He didn't quit till after IMF got shut down.
Listen, man, if I know something about these organizations,
why isn't he hanging out with Renner's? All
easy come, easy go. Yeah. You could just get into the CIA and go, I'm not working for you guys anymore. And then when you decide to work for them again, they hire you right back.
The British.
What I said, you don't burn bridges. You get hired back. Mm. Okay, that's why I'm still hoping one day I'll work for IGN. Ethan is my friend. If I have 1 second of doubt about which side you're on, Jeremy Renner, I'm going to fucking ice your ass. Actually, he doesn't even say anything. He just goes,
Yeah.
And you get like, that's fuck, man.
I'm Luther, dude.
Vic Rames might be smart, but he's also a big dude. He's going to fuck you up. Back in Morocco, we discover, we start talking about Solomon, and he's an ex-British operative who created the Syndicate, and MI6 doesn't want everyone to know that their boy went rogue and shit. Ilsa was sent in by MI6 to learn all the identities, all the people he's working with, and guess what? Handily, there's a list of all the operatives, and it's in this skiff.
Ledger.
And this dude, one of his operatives another went rogue list. On him and decided to compile all this list, put it in this safe place. They tortured him, but he died before they could be given the access code. But we're going to break into this facility, and this is the one list that's going to take down Solomon.
They should have called it the knock list, Kevin.
They do, like, later. There's a moment where they're okay. Oh, the knock list.
Because even he's just saying like, it right now, it makes me feel cool.
It makes me feel cool to hear that.
But like, it's the anti-knock list. It's like a bad knock list, you know? Yeah.
But I love, and then they proceed to tell you just how hard this place is to break into. But it's almost tongue-in-cheek at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we can't do this. This is ridiculous. There's a dude that's got to be upstairs. There's 3 locks, retinal scan, all the shit.
Full body.
Full body gait analyzer.
But no, before they get to that, we get a great scene where Ben's just like, cool, I'll just dress up like him. We have another cool scene where they put the mask on.
Oh my God. Yeah. But it's so good because he's like, I just want
to
wear a mask.
He wants to wear a mask.
So bad. And then it shows like what the mission would look like if he fails and stuff like this.
Right.
Is just
they
fun.
Still like tase him. He's like, all right, right. Because it's got gait analysis. They know every single movement that you make facially. But I thought this was really cool. There's no way to beat this.
It's also such a dumb, like, small detail, but I think it's really cool when they show him in the mask. With the skin on the neck still hanging off.
And they're like, have to massage
that looks so cool.
It's really cool.
I love that.
There's no way we can get to this terminal. And then Ethan has a bright idea. Wait a minute. Where do they keep the profiles for people that are coming in and out? Because we could hack into that potentially. And Ilsa's like, I'm way ahead of you, dude. That's why I've got this cool armband that I really want Kevin to order on Amazon.
Here,
they don't exist.
And here, everybody is the most unrealistic part of this whole franchise. You have gadgets for everything. You don't have a breathing apparatus gadget.
Right? You don't have one thing man, this is a giant plastic thing that holds 3 breaths.
Do the fucking thing that they have in Phantom Menace. You know, just put the little, like, the mouthpiece in, you know?
That actually exists.
Yeah. When they go visit the Gungans.
But
the Gungan city.
It gave us a great fucking scene.
Were you
of
Black
him.
Panther there?
No, he was Jar Jar.
Yeah, I was Jar Jar, yeah.
You didn't just see Jar Jar? Oh, he's there again.
Gungans. Jar Jar. What's but up, yeah, man? Like, you have gadgets for fucking everything. You've got to have a breathing apparatus, dude.
It's,
come on.
It's sort of okay. So they set up that there's a metal detector in this thing. But I did write that note down. I'm like, is there no such thing as a plastic like air tank? I'm pretty sure there is. But I digress. It doesn't matter because guess what? Benji's like, Tom, just be like, dude, you can hold your breath for 2 minutes. She's like, well, it's technically going to be three because it takes 30 seconds to upload the fucking profile or whatever, all that shit. So you got to wait over for that. He goes, 3 minutes? That's easy. You got this.
Yeah. Benji's awesome in this
scene. He's so great. Like, yeah.
Another cool. Great.
Like, it's like, whoa, motherfucker. Like, what the hell?
It reminds me of in Ghost Protocol when Tom Cruise comes off the Khalifa and he's back in the building and Benji walks in like, oh, that was hard.
He's but like, I got it done.
What I miss. Like, I love that. Like, he's so fucking good.
I'm going to just give anyone out there, if you're working for the CIA or the IMF organization, a quick note. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you have to sneak into a place and you're waiting for someone else to upload the profile, maybe let them do that first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go into the facility. They're always cutting it down to the last second here.
So I was thinking about this right now.
Yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, why didn't they do it earlier? But they do open, they end up escaping out of that tank. And I'm sure that set off a bunch of alarms where it's like, hey, this thing is now spewing water. Lock this bitch down.
That's fair. That makes sense. Yeah. That checks out. Yeah. Okay, cool. So Benji goes in, has a cool little thing gadget where he can hack the security system and waits for them to skydive in and get in place and then hacks it and gets in.
Skydive's so quick. It's cool. Awesome.
Right. They shoot the camera.
They fly in and just fucking land on the thing. I'm just like, I love that in other movies, this would be a huge scene of them.
Just
and they do the cool thing again, another throwback where they shoot the camera and it like hacks into the thing real quick and just like loops the feed.
But it just disables it. Like the camera just turned off.
Is that what it did?
Yeah.
What?
Sorry. I just, future spoilers. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I appreciate that. They break in. They do the little cool thing that Kevin loves, which is like the sonic vibration. Breaks the glass. They come
so
in.
So cool.
Yeah. Definitely showing off rails at this point. Yeah. Definitely.
It just becomes dust. It's just so cool.
It's like a breakaway glass in a car.
Like, it feels like the worst way to handle that. Like, at least the other thing, like, they cut the glass. I feel like they could just kind of put it back on top.
Yeah.
But, like, this is just like, oh, it's just shattered.
Yeah. I thought it was going to kind of, like, vacuum it or something. No. Which would have been cool, but no. Just shattered glass.
I don't understand why you need a giant underground facility where you store cards that are just impossible to get in and out at a moment's notice, all of which can be stored on a thumb drive. But we don't give a shit because this is liquid cool and it's cool.
It's more secure.
It's definitely more secure. I mean?
It's not physically possible for somebody to do that.
Just like a room with a lock on it and like two dudes outside with guns. That's probably easier because you figure there's got to be some tech that's like, remember when we used to work at IGN and Chris Ostrich would always have to go back into the server room and like get shocked by things?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine doing that underwater.
Yeah.
And you can't have any metal.
Doesn't sound good. I will say that there's about 10 minutes here that are what I think the least good part of this movie. The underwater scene didn't look great. I loved the tension. I loved the heartbeat. There was a lot of cool stuff.
The climax of that scene is fucking dope. And him
seemingly dying.
Yeah,
that's cool things. About, yeah. But then I feel like this kind of slows the movie down, and that's a testament to how fast this movie goes.
So either way, we have a great scene where they look over and there's a Sarlacc pit of water in front of him. He goes, ready? Great, cool. But she goes, the current's gonna just suck you right in, so you're gonna get there fast, don't worry about swimming, but once you're in, you gotta get the fuck out, right?
Yeah.
He goes, cool. Does the thing where he tucks and just dives in. It's terrifying. Just gets immediately sucked in, goes through the hatch. Benji starts going through the security measures using his phone to hack each one of the locks. Tom gets into the thing, finds the place where the card's being held with a profile on it, opens it up, takes the card out, dodges an arm once, takes his card out, which looks exactly the same. At this point, I would also be like this. Another mental note for different anyone out there, different color, or just put a Sharpie mark on it.
Yeah.
You know, something that's like,
post-it note.
I get Tom Cruise that you, from the first one where you're like, I know which one I got. I know which knock list I have because were you in the thing? Which one
magic
is it?
Tricks.
Magic sleight of hand, David Mindtell, mind freak, right? But just a mental note for later. Put a little mark on it that says IMF or something.
But then they'd be able to trace it once they figure it all out.
Well, who cares? We're already
off. Also, just make it red. Just make it red.
Exactly. You know?
It doesn't have to match the yellow.
They already know you broke in, so some shit's up. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Benji's up there. Thing gets the arm comes back and just knocks him on his ass. We get
the two cards
floating away. We don't know which one is which. Tom's going around. Meanwhile, by the way, the security guys downstairs have figured out that this fucking water's off and shit's going to overheat. So they turn the water back on. The cyclonic current starts, and Tom's like, shit, I got to figure this out. Grabs both discs, gets back to the thing, can't figure out which one disc is what, and then proving Alec Baldwin right, just 100%. Says, fuck it, 50-50 shot. Who knows? Throws one away, sticks the other one in, right as Benji goes through the gate, and guess what? It's the right one.
Yeah.
We're starting to think that maybe Alec Baldwin had his case was solid here.
Making a little bit of sense.
A lot of luck.
I don't think he threw it away. I think it got like backed out of his hand. And he was just like, I guess it's like,
all right, I can hold my breath for 2 minutes, but can you hold it for 3 minutes? I don't know. We'll have to see. Wait. Oh, I just got fucking hit by surprise by this giant metal thing.
Right. And he's a goddamn professional.
So he puts it in there, starts getting out, but then starts realizing he doesn't have enough strength left in his oxygen depleted body to take this hatch out. Ilsa's freaking out upstairs because she realizes we're way over time here. Benji's in. He's super excited. He has no idea what the fuck's going on. But then Tom Cruise starts to pass out. And you think he's going to muster, like, I'm Tom Cruise, dude. I've done this before. I'll do it. Mm-hmm. I can climb up this fucking mountain. It's fine. No, he passes the fuck out and dies. Movie's over. What do we think?
Sound design is perfect and
great. Yeah, the heartbeat.
Scene. Yeah. Yeah. I as somebody who cannot swim, drowning scenes have terrified me. Yeah, I can't swim.
Kevin can teach you. He swims like a dolphin. That's
true. I never learned how because every time my parents take me to a pool, I'd always get sick. So they just stopped taking me to like pools and stuff. Like I'd get like infection and like the chlorine and like getting out of water.
Sick,
I had bad allergies.
Fucking ropes, man. I'm learning a lot about you today.
You're a beautiful, beautiful.
So anything drowning wise always terrified me, especially the underwater. The underwater level in Ninja Turtles on NES.
Oh, I hated that.
That's kind of what started it for me. So this brought back a lot of like trauma for me. Mm. This scene was like so fucking incredible and had me like, even last night, just like on the edge of my bed. I know he fucking survives, but it's still just like, oh, they're doing such a great job building this tension.
Phenomenal, dude.
And so he died, yeah.
It's just so crazy that like, some people in the chat being like, oh, you can't pressurize oxygen, which is like, all right, in a plastic container. On.
Science with Kev.
I'm Kevin. And it's like, I've got one of those CO2, you know, like the ones that make sodas, SodaStream.
Yeah. SodaStream.
And it's like, you pressurize CO2 in there. I don't need it to have a lot of thing. One breath would have doubled the amount of time that he could be
literally
in here.
6 minutes,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like
and
one.
And like, that would have been fine. Why didn't he just bring one of these soda stream containers with a little mouthpiece on it that he could be like, oh, thank God I brought two breaths.
Yeah.
Very solid call. It doesn't matter. He's fucking dead as a door now. He's floating out there. Nope, he's not. Boom. Who comes to save the day?
Little Ilsa. Fishy herself.
Ilsa just said, fuck it. I'm going to go. I'm going to find this. Grabs him. Gets on like a skydiver, which is cool. I thought she like wraps her legs around him, which is awesome. Looks fantastic. And then starts trying to swim toward the thing, but then realizes there's no way she's going to get there. Rides the Cyclone out, and as she rides it, realizes she's going to, thank God it's going in the right direction. I guess it doesn't matter. Sorry, I apologize, audio listeners. I've got a little bit of a cough. Uses the cyclonic energy to grab onto the hatch pull it, and boom, gets shot out. Right.
So
meanwhile,
cool.
Ethan's been dead for a solid 3 minutes. We get a shot.
But will he survive? We'll have to find out in 1 second. Because, ladies and gentlemen, this episode of Kinda Funny in Reviews brought to you by MeUndies. You probably spend about 90% of your life in underwear. So don't you think you owe it to yourself to make sure you're wearing the softest undies in town?
I do think so, Tim.
I think so as well. I'm wearing just solid gray right now. Kevin, God, you're aggressively pulling those things out.
Sushi.
We're in the funnel.
Kevin, I'm going against the pole and see what happens.
Oh my God!
I wore my
so many fun prints. I love the unicorns. Andy loves the avocados. Men can now try the new boxer brief with Fly if that is what you're into. MeUndies is also the go-to for the softest loungewear on the planet. Hang out in their super comfy lounge pants and onesies. Yes, MeUndies makes onesies. You didn't think it was possible, but it is. To have that softness all over your body, emblazoned across your body. They're incredible. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you order MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on with free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Does he survive, Nick?
Ladies and gentlemen, he does survive with the help of a brand new defibrillator. And thank God it's not the defibrillator from Mission Impossible 3 that took 45 fucking minutes to spool up.
Where did the defibrillator come from?
You presume they were like, he's probably going to drown. Call. We're going to have to bring him back.
So it's a waterproof one because it didn't get ruined when she was in the water.
No. They had it all set up. I feel like they had a little base because Benji knew that was like where they were going to come back.
That was their recon. Reconnaissance.
She shocks him and he comes back to life. And then Benji comes in all cocky. Cocky as fuck. And it's just like, I got it, everyone. That it's was right a lot easier than I thought it was right. And then has a very real moment where he looks and realizes, oh shit, Ethan almost died.
Yeah.
It comes to his aid and is like, hey man, we got it.
We did
like,
it, buddy.
We did it. And then poof, gets shocked. Ilsa, well, before that, she does this like really sexy thing where she turns around and like takes her top off. And I was like, what do you do for back?
Dude, that's I don't
what
I want to know.
What do you do for back?
And also, like,
what's
like,
your back workout?
That shirt took off was aggressive. Like, that's the only way you can put it.
Let me tell you what, I've been in Morocco, and the Moroccan sun makes you tan. You want to show that shit off. I totally understand it.
But like, you got to think that's the moment where she's like, I'm going to fuck these guys over. Yeah. I'm about to screw it. Like, I, you know, like she's getting in serious mode.
Yeah. It was serious. It was good. Very well played. She shocks Benji and is like, sorry, yanks the thumb drive and has to get away. Bangs out, goes upstairs. For some reason, is going to take the BMW and then realizes that her biker boys are there and then goes, oh, okay, I guess I'll just get on the motorcycle instead.
No, the BMW rejects her hand.
Oh, rejected
her hand. Yeah, she put her hand in and was like, doo, doo, doo.
Well, thank God they brought her a full suit of leathers for the awesome bike scene that's about to happen because she gets up. Tom Cruise, of course, dressed in like the most hideous touristy Euro fucking snakeskin shirt the entire time, which I thought was great.
Nice little touch.
Gets up and is like, we got to go after her. I'm driving. And he's like, don't you think you were just dead like a minute ago?
He's stumbling.
And then he goes, he does this great thing where he goes to shoot himself. He like goes to like throw himself across the hood of the car and just stops halfway and falls off.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, he's not in a good place right now. But of course, it doesn't reject his handprint. They get in the BMW again. Shout out to BMW for and Halo 5 for bringing you this episode.
Couple things. Yeah, you're right. So they did actually sponsor both Halo and BMW. The good guys all drive BMWs. The bad guys don't.
I mean, that would be if I was like, hey, my car is going to be in this. You better goddamn believe that Tom Cruise is going to drive that car and not the bad guy.
It's like in The Getaway, all the the video game The Getaway, remember that? All the bad guys drove Lexuses.
Yeah.
Really cool.
The last thing there is that we all know that Tom Cruise does his own stunts. Cool. Yeah. That's not fascinating anymore, right? Except it still fucking
is.
It's
still awesome.
But Simon Pegg does all his own driving.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd want to, too, because I'd be like, that's cool.
I wonder if he was ever on an episode of Top Gear.
Probably.
You know, so the celebrities go in and like test and
I would be.
Great show.
I bet you that's because of what's his face? Tom Cruise being like Tom Cruise about everything.
Don't be a bitch, dude.
Yeah, just do
get
yourself.
Get the fucking car.
Yeah. Dude, I'm not a driving stunt
driver. You've driven a car before. It's the same thing, except you might die. Ilsa gets on her bike and then realizes she's got to get away from these guys. So she pulls a fucking juke move and like spins around and knocks all their bikes down and then takes off, right? Meanwhile, Tom Cruise. And it just has an inherent knowledge of wherever she's at. Takes off after her. Who does he run into? Boom. It's Brandt and Luther. And they have a great scene where they kind of just look at each other.
Oh, my God. But that motorcycle bit, that motorcycle combat that they just fucking did where she, like, tail whips them all. That one scene was better than the entire 20-minute motorcycle battle we had in
So far better. And then we get the scene like moments later where Tom Cruise does it with a fucking car.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Where he twists in the middle of the street, just takes two guys out.
So much like, control.
In a perfectly little alley. Yeah. Oh my God, it's cool.
That's and then really fucking cool, yeah.
I do want to bring attention to the Luther and... what's the other guy's
Brandt.
Name? Brandt. Brandt. Little moment where he's like, why did we have to... You wanted the all-terrain.
You had to get the 4x4.
Yeah.
Just drive.
Like,
just
the drive, back and forth of their relationship being built is like, I'm loving it.
Yeah. I love it. And that's what I was saying I was missing in the other movies. I feel like all the characters have dynamics that are fun. You want to hear them talk, and they're always talking.
Well, you're also getting, of course, the fact that these people have done like so many movies together, and they have a chemistry now, probably offset as well as onset, that's now translating, which is very, very good.
Thank
but
God.
Also, Jeremy Renner just has a great comedic timing in this, and nails his character because he's not the bravado like superhero character in this. He is kind of like the analyst, nerdy undersecretary guy.
he's the like the I don't know guys guy.
He's the one that's always asking the questions. Then we get of course the scene where Tom Cruise is getting shot at. They shoot everything in the fucking car but the passenger and driver's seat, and he does he spins a little juke move, goes down the alleyway and just sandwiches these two motorcycles with a slide spin move into the sides of the walls, and then of course is backward. And at about 100 miles an hour, which I don't know what BMWs must be great for going backward, because at 100 miles an hour, shot puts him and Benji backward.
So this
stories up.
Yeah.
And thank God for
the little trick that he learned in the last movie.
Yeah, exactly.
You wearing your seatbelt? You're just asking me now.
Shot puts himself. They land. The car tumbles what I feel is an obnoxious amount.
Absurd.
Dude, it's
absurd.
When you say car tumbles, in my head I see like a car kind of like
wheels.
It cartwheels multiple fucking times.
Let's put it this way.
It flips.
When it's done, it does the the Olympic thing, gold medal. Let's put it that way. Gold medal.
Did look like a gymnast.
Oh my God. Come on, Chris. What, like, you know, he was like, no, it's got to be a lot of tumbles.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not physically possible for a car to do this. He's like, Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Dude,
Mission Impossible. The car is flipped upside down. Tom Cruise wakes up. Sorry, guys. Tom Cruise wakes up and sees a motorcycle pull up, and the guy gets off, takes a gun out, and is about to kill him, and then boom, the 4x4 fucking takes him out.
Yeah,
this is great.
That was a violent scene.
Very violent.
But like, also, I was like, yeah, our boys are like, oh, they're all together again.
Brant leans down, he's like, you doing okay? And then Benji wakes up, he's like, oh, watch out! Which is really, really funny. And then, of course, Tom Cruise looks over, like, gets out of the car, looks over, and he sees Ilsa taking off on a bike, and you think the scene's over. You think she's gotten away. No, it's not. Because like they literally go to cut Benji out. They turn around. He's already on the other guy's motorcycle, has taken off. And this is really, really cool. First off, for a couple of reasons. One, I've actually been on this road before. When I went to Morocco, I believe this. I might be wrong. Chat or comments, let me know. But they said they were in Casablanca. But I think this road's outside of Marrakesh by a few, by like maybe 20 miles, leading up into the Mid-Atlas Mountains.
Did you go down those stairs?
No, the stairs, I think, were actually in Casablanca, but I think the next scene where they start doing the windy roads are in the Atlas Mountains, because I believe I took a car trip up there when I went, and they were like, hey, this is where they shot Mission Impossible, and why would he lie to me? Probably because he knows I was never going to see him again.
You traveling with Johnny Ace over there?
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, at that time, I didn't
know. Maybe.
I don't know. My brain's
dead. Which one is it? Yeah.
My brain's dead and the joke's over. It's a cool scene where all sorts of people get taken out. And we get, of course, the culmination, the climax of the scene where he fucks the dude up and then just revs it up super hard to catch up to Ilsa. And then as he rounds the corner, she's standing in the middle of the road.
Bold move.
Bold maneuver like
she's
a boss.
She's smart, though, you know?
It's proving once again that she is every bit Ethan's equal, if not slightly better than him, because he winds up on his fucking ass and his motorcycle is destroyed.
That fucking tumble looked like it was very real.
What does she do? Of course, she looks at him and is like, sorry, dude. Gets back on her bike and just takes off. Then we go to London, England.
And this was the point that I had to walk away, and I looked. I'm like, there's still 40 minutes, and I can't fucking wait.
Hell, a lot of movie left in this. She meets up with her boss, Chief Atlee.
I'm Chief Atlee.
To give him the disc and says, look, dude, I'm out. This is it. I gave you the fucking thumb drive. I'm out. And he goes, but we don't know what's on here, and we can't authenticate it because we don't know what it is, right? You got to go back in there, and you got to give it back to him and have him authenticate it, and then we'll come and take him out. And she's like, dude, I've done everything you fucking asked, bro. And he's like, look, you're either going to go back in there and authenticate this disc or this drive, or I'm going to let the CIA know who you really are, and they're just going to come kill you because they're in the killing mood right now. And she's like, wow, you're a dick. And he's like, well, this is the game. Don't hate the fucking player. Hate the game. And she's like, but the CIA is our friends. And he goes, there are no friends in this game, just people with common interests, right? Get up, go do your fucking job, right? And she's like, great. Grabs the thumb drive, takes off again, has to go back and eat some fucking crow.
Dude, that moment, he's like, there are very few people that know who you really are.
Yeah.
And it would suck if they forgot.
Yeah.
It was just like, fuck, what a good job building her motivation on, like, why is she, like, committing to this thing? Why is she ready to kill someone?
But I also love it because what you just said right there is mirrored in why Solomon Lang hates organizations, right?
Oh, such a well-crafted story.
Just getting used and abused by the system and fucking can't stand it, and that's why he wants to take the system down. So it actually goes into back up a little bit of why the antagonist is doing what he does. I thought it was a nice touch because you start to hate the authorities, the powers that be in the CIA and the MI6 as well by about midway through this movie. We're back with the boys right now, and guess what? They can't open the drive. It's a red box, which I thought was a DVD delivery service that you go into the stores and get, like, you just rent fucking Marley
good deals,
and me.
Good deals on
great
them,
deals. I've never used it myself, though.
Really?
Is it good?
Yeah, it's great.
Oh,
great.
It works out nice.
This thing is triple encrypted. Why? This is where I wasn't paying that close attention. Is this all they had in the drive store or like the drive area where Benji was like grabbing? Like, why didn't he bring his own thumb drive to copy this information?
It must have been. And they must have had several to pick up.
I guess they would have figured out if he had a drive bringing in there. But how did he know they were going to have
this red
box?
I would think that he just copied a file over, being like, oh, these are the
got
files.
Yeah.
And the file itself is encrypted, not the thumbstick. The thumbstick has a scanner.
Has a fingerprint thing, which, by the way, Kevin, I made a note. Let's get some fingerprint scan with thumb drives.
Yeah. I'm really liking this bit.
It's committed. I have it 5 more
times.
This thing is triple encrypted, man. It's got a fingerprint, a retinal scan, and a voice phrase that can only be spoken by a specific individual, and somehow they know that individual is none other than the Prime Minister himself. We have no idea what's on this drive, man. We got to figure it out. And Ethan's like, look, if Lang wants this thing open, he's gonna find a way to take it open, which means he's probably going for the Prime Minister. And then Jeremy Renner's like, no, dude. I see where you're going, bro. And we're not doing this. And he's like, there's no other way. We got to go take the Prime Minister.
The classic Ethan Hawkeye conundrum.
And now Brant's like, dude, you're fucking like... And they have this great back and forth with Luther where Ethan's like, I don't see any other way. And he's like, but you're fucking crazy, right? And then Luther backs him up, comes, he's like, Ethan's always the one that, he's the only one that sees the truth about this. And he's like, are you the only one or are you just fucking delusional right now? Like, we've broken a lot of laws. My career's on the line. Alec Baldwin's awesome to hang out with. You guys should come meet him. But he's also coming to kill you. And they're like, we got to do this. And
then sweaty
we
get a scene
right afterward where Brant maybe or maybe not fucking knocks on him.
Yeah.
Just straight up knocks and is like, you got to come to London, England right now. They're going to do some shit, but I want your word that you're not going to kill Ethan. And Huntley's like, no, I'm just not giving you my word. Like, straight up not going
to
happen.
That's up to him. That's up to him.
That's up to him, right? Yeah. But I'm probably gonna kill him.
Yeah, but Brant's like, you know, we do this on my terms.
And he's like, dude, the syndicate's made up. He's crazy. We might have to put him down.
Meanwhile, let's see. Oh, yeah, right. Ilsa meets up with Lang back in the cemetery. She hands over the red box, which... Right. All is forgiven. Not really. But guess what? This isn't a ledger, is it? And he's like, no, it's not actually a ledger. There's something else on this that I just wanted you guys to steal from me.
If he knew what it was, you wouldn't have gotten it.
Right.
It's like, oh, shit.
Which is like crazy, right? Yeah. Like, what the fuck's going on? And then they have a little back and forth where he's like, listen, I got to be honest with you. Like, I kind of fucking know that you're a double agent here. But
I'm still trying to win you over.
But I kind of want to win you over because I want you to see. Because
now you're seeing it.
How fucked up the system is.
You have a lot of potential.
You nail it now. Now you got it.
You got a little Marlon Brando.
You were putting a little bit too much S on it before.
My son.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
You have a lot of potential, Ethan.
There it is. It's
great. That's good. There we go. We got there, dude. Nice.
He's like, join me and fucking realize the full power of the dark side. And she's like, you're a terrorist, motherfucker. You kill a lot of people.
But he's starting to make sense.
And he's like, listen, man, everyone kills a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Just be cool.
Solid point.
Solid point, right? And she's like, that's cool. They run the disc, of course, and it's empty. Right? Not a good thing.
Bad for Ilsa.
Yeah.
Who are you going to blame for this one?
Yeah.
It's like, and he's like, who are you going to blame next for this one? Meanwhile... I guess Ethan. Oh, that's right. Next up, Ethan tracks her down to a train station. They have a great. The team's all there. She's looking around. She's like, "I can't get out of here." But she's like, "The disc is empty." And Ethan's like, "It wasn't empty when we gave it to you." But Benji's like, "That's bullshit. I copied there. I copied this thing onto the disc.
Easy stuff. Paste. Yeah.
This was yours. Like, when we believe Benji because he has never lied to anyone in this movie.
No.
Ethan goes, "Did you let the disc out of your sight? Were you the only person that handled it?" And she realizes, "Oh, Atlee fucked me." And we get
put it on a newspaper.
We get a little flashback where Atlee like takes his phone out and it's like deleted all the stuff on there. And you're like, why would he want to delete that? That's weird.
That's good.
Maybe
it's like,
Chief Atlee isn't being 100% honest
with us. Also, who created this really like pretty UI for this deletion program?
Really cool. The UI in this movie is great.
Yeah, everything is so well done. Like, this is the future I want.
Yeah.
You put a fucking and that makes sense. NFC, you know, like little things going in there, sending a command.
But I like this back and forth. They sit down at the train station. Ethan's like, look it, let's cut to the chase. I know you're just doing your job. I know you're disavowed. I know all this stuff. And she's like, you knew the disc was blank. And he's like, we didn't. We get the whole flashback conversation. And then someone brings up the point. He's like, wait, if the disc was blank, why is she alive? And why are we still talking to her? Like, are we in fucking danger right now?
And they fucking look around. Benji's just gone.
But she's basically like, she's like, you got
little
three.
Benji.
She's a puff of smoke.
Yeah. She's like, you got three choices. You can hand me over to the CIA and I'm proof of everything, but they won't believe you. And they're going to burn you guys alive anyway for treason. Two, you can use this disc as bait to find and capture Lang, which is probably what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. But some part of me suspects you've met your match, man. You've gone dick to dick measuring contest, and guess what? He's a solid 5.5, 5.75, just like you on a good day. It's warm outside. Measure again. You guys are equal.
Yeah.
So what are you going
to
do? You'll probably end up just playing right into his fucking plan anyway and handing him the goddamn thing, which, by the way, keep that in mind because that's the thing that bell goes off. He's like, maybe that's the way we're going to get him. And three, or guess what? Come away with me right now. Fuck all this shit. There's always going to be another line.
What an enticing
dude, right? Like, fuck this. Like, hey, she's right. Let's go.
He looks over at Luther's like.
Luther's like, damn.
Well, Luther, like, can hear everything, right? Because he is like, damn, that's a great choice.
Yeah. Like, Ethan, you better do it, man.
Very, very much. And then all of a sudden, Lane sent her a message, and when she opens it up, it cripples their earpieces, and it's just the amount of time they need to snatch Benji. They look over, he's gone. They go after him, and then he's like, "Hey, Luther, you gotta watch. You gotta watch out for Ilsa."
Yeah, I got you, dog.
He's like, "I got it, man." Looks over, and she just fucking
don't got it, dog.
Street magic disappears.
Yeah, man,
just mind freak,
yeah. Dude. But he also like tries to run after her, and he is just like, everyone is like, "Hey, let's not move out of the way of this giant running man."
Yeah, this guy's
and he's
big.
Just like, "Oh, wait."
They go down. They go down into the thing. They've lost Benji. Everything's fucking lost. Brant's pissed, right? And this is not going the way we want it to go. Elaine calls Ethan and says, "Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to unlock this fucking disc by midnight tonight, or I'm gonna murk your friend." And Ethan accepts. Says, "We got. Guess what, guys? We got to steal the Prime Minister. We just got to do this."
So fucking cool.
Yeah.
He's now working for the bad guy.
Working for the bad guy.
He has no choice.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And there it is. It came full circle. That is it. That's how. And then, but he figures it out. He's like, "Wait a minute. We don't know what his plan is yet." But he has an aha moment where he's like, "This is it. Mm-hmm. This is how we beat him." And everyone's like, and this is the scene where Brant's like, "You've gone fucking crazy, dude. Like, we can't do this shit." But he's like, no. There's no other way. We got him." And you have one brief moment, having seen this movie already, where this is the moment where he realizes the chess pieces, like how the rest of this game is going to play out, and he figures out how to beat him. And he's like, "All you have to do is steal the drive, and I've got him beaten," which is great. We're going to beat him. We're gonna steal the Prime Minister, get the thing back, and we're going to get Benji back, and everything's going to be great. We're gonna put fucking Lane in a box. It's going to be great. Simon Pegg, we catch up with him. He's tied to a chair, and Lane's like, and the Bone Collector's there, and then Lane's like, "Good and ready."
Get him ready?
Yeah, get him ready.
Get him ready.
That's good. That's really good. Huntley, meanwhile, shows up in London, England, and meets up with Brant. What's he planning to do? And he's like, "Listen, I need your assurances that you're going to take him alive, man." And he's like, "We'll fucking see, dude. Nobody tells Alec Baldwin what's up. I'm the head of 30 Rock." It's like, good point.
Alec Baldwin is such a good choice.
Great in The Departed, too.
So good.
Yeah. Very good.
Huntley... Great. He and Mark Wahlberg, great comic relief in that movie.
Yeah,
but Huntley it was. Movie, yeah. It's a good movie.
Huntley meets up, meanwhile, with this swarmy fuck Chief Atlee and tells him all about what's going to happen. And he's like, "Dude, Hunt is going to steal the Prime Minister. We got to get to him right now." They go in. They grab the Prime Minister out of his little auction. What's going on? So we got to talk to you right now. Walk in the room. Atlee goes, "Don't let anyone else in this fucking room." Walks in, and we get this great scene where... they're downloading they're telling the stitch to the Prime Minister. They said, "Listen, they're in the possession of this red box that can only be opened by you. Hunt has been hunting on the syndicate." The Prime Minister fucking looks over at Atlee and just is like, "Motherfucker,
I said no him his to the ass. Syndicate.
I thought you said this was only an exercise." And Brant's like, "Does the name Solomon Lang ring a bell to you?" And the Prime Minister's like, "Boy, does it, sir. I've never met. Do an organization I shouldn't be telling you this because you are a foreign organization not ours." It's true. But maybe I should. But maybe the Prime Minister is like a little forthcoming here. Basically, is like, "Listen, this was an exercise.
Had a few cocktails, you know.
Had a couple, maybe a little
chatty Cathy."
Well, he was also like, "This guy just fucked up. Like, they went with this plan that I was like, no go. This is not a safe plan. It's not a good plan."
The syndicate was a hypothetical brainchild of Atlee. The idea was to recruit former agents from other nations and supply them with new identities, then have them surgically remove enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Such a Metal Gear Solid moment. All of this.
Of course, so the operation budget was kept on the secure red disk and the secure server. So if he ever wanted this to happen into it, it was at his disposal. And the PM said, "I just patently reject this. This would make me judge, jury, and executioner. No one man should have all this power," which is completely ridiculous because he probably would have done it. But either way, the PM tries to leave, but Huntley stops him. And he's like, "Dude, I urge you to stay in this room. Ethan is coming." And then he has the
best line,
fucking line in the whole movie, where he goes, "There is no secret he cannot extract, no security he cannot breach, and no person he cannot become. He has most likely anticipated this very conversation. He is the living manifestation of destiny. And he has made you his mission."
Yeah.
And if it was anyone else but Alec Baldwin saying this, I'd be like, that is the dumbest fucking line ever written.
But he fucking nailed it. Do you think Ethan, like, we get the reveal in 2 seconds that he's there.
Yeah.
Do you think he was just sitting there being like,
"That's pretty cool.
Fucking, this guy gets it."
Of course, he turns right around and Atlee's got a trank gun and he tranks the PM. And guess what? Tears off the mask. It's not Atlee at all. It's Ethan the whole time. Tim, did you see this coming?
No, dude.
It's so great.
When Jeremy Renner called fucking Alec Baldwin, I was like, "Jeremy,
Dude, don't be a narc.
I was like, I can't.
Why are you being a narc?
Like, I got so played by this movie. It was beautiful, man. It's such a beautiful symphony just playing me. I'm just like, all right, what's Hawkeye up to? Like, what's the plan? What are they doing? Why would he do this? And when he pulls that mask off, I was like,
you motherfucker.
How did I not see this coming?
I am flabbergasted.
Oh, my God. Like, I had to pause. I needed a moment.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Fucking art.
I love, we get a couple great lines here where they shoot him with his, like, with true serum that kind of whacks him out a little bit.
Yeah.
And as they sit the PM down, he's like, Atlee shot me. And Brandt's like, yep, he shot you. Straight up. Yeah. Put that in your
for
DP.
Sure,
but
Atlee
like,
was the dude.
This guy's the guy that fucks you. And then Huntley looks at her, Alec Baldwin looks over me and he goes, Hunt, I hope you know what you're doing because you just set back US-UK relations to the American Revolution.
So great. I love
like,
that
you just
line.
Fucked us. Excuse me.
But like, what a brilliant move to be like, all right, we're going to get the prime minister to talk about Syndicate
right.
in front of this dude who doesn't trust us at all.
Right.
So good.
And then, of course, Huntley now realizes that Syndicate's a real thing and all this stuff's real. And he's on the side, man. We get a nice little look where he's like, good job, Ethan.
Good job.
Well played.
Destiny.
They get the retinal scan. They get the fingerprint scan. They ask him. They say the passcode is Kipling. And then, of course, the PM knows what that is and goes, oh, I'll give you this quote because I'm whacked out on fucking wacky juice right now.
So
says the quote. It unlocks the thing. And it's not what they thought. It is this budget. It's got all these accounts in it. And we've got it. And, of course, Atlee, the real Atlee, shows up by this point. Storms into the room with two security guards. And they just trank the fuck out of those guys. Trank Atlee. And then Atlee starts just copping to everything because this wacky juice is fantastic.
Shout out to the moment where when Ethan was pretending to be Atlee and he was like, no, don't let anybody come into this room.
Yeah.
And then Atlee comes and they're like, we were told not to let anybody in this room. He's like, by who? And then it's like, so
by you.
By
you, sir. Yeah. That's a great moment.
A classic kind of moment, but still so well done.
That's fantastic. Of course, Hunley's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. And he goes, yeah, you do. Here's what happened. You figured out that Atlee was bad. You brought this train gun in, hands in the gun. And he's like, you saved the day, dude. Like, here's how this story's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You figured out that this guy was going to assassinate the Chief Hunley was going to assassinate the prime minister. You saved the day. Here you go. And Alec Baldwin goes, I just got a promotion thanks to you. We're homies now.
Yep.
Now we're homies. Okay. You earned your trust. I'm not hunting you down anymore. You got it. Then we cut over to Luther's building something cool with a screw gun. And then I wrote this note, is Kevin our Luther? I think you are, Kev. Luther proves once again he's the moral center of the group and is like, listen, there's a 2.4 billion pound sterling budget in this disc. We can't let it out. And Ethan's like, don't worry, dog. I got a plan. You don't know what that plan is, but you try. Everyone trusts each other, which is really nice.
Then there's a cut, and he's drilling through it, right?
Yeah. No, he puts the disc in first.
Yeah.
Watches the video, which is at Chief Atlee, which he's like, hey, if you want to use this, this is what it is.
You're choosing to activate.
Scans through all of the things.
Banks.
The banks. And then, boom, hole right in the disc. Like, fuck you. You're not getting this. I'm the disc now. Right? Genius.
He actually says that, though.
Yeah.
Does he?
Yep.
He
says, when he's sitting the in the table,
goes
but it's
up,
brilliant.
Yeah. Goes up to the meet. Of course, Benji. This is a creepy-ass scene where Benji's strapped. There's a bomb. Ilsa's there. And Benji starts talking, but it's not his words. He's got the retina thing in his eyes. And he's got an earpiece. And he's basically just saying what... He's just a mouthpiece for Lang at this point.
Again, dude, can this movie get better?
Really cool.
This fucking scene.
The acting in this scene, like, I didn't know what Simon Pegg could, like, nail this. But, like, he's sitting there crying.
Yeah.
Like, he's about to die.
Another moment you're like, all is lost.
Yeah.
Like, it's over.
They're about to kill Benji.
They lost.
And this is a great scene, right? Elsa's there, and she's like, listen, there's two ways this can go. You're going to give us, you're going to give us the disc. And I'm going to kill you and Benji, or this bomb's going to go off with ball bearings in it that we stole from Swordfish, and we're going to kill everyone. Those are the only two ways. And Tom Cruise goes, nope, there's a third way. Here's an account. I'll give you $50 million if you let Benji go. And he writes down an account number on a very nice napkin, which if I were the major dude of this restaurant, I'd be like, stop writing on my napkins. What are you doing? Holds it up to Benji, and then Solomon Lang's like, what's he playing at? Types in the account number.
$50 million.
That's an account that has $50 million in it. Transfers where's the disc? I'm the disc, motherfucker. You want to blow me up? And there you go. And then then it's a game of just a game of bluffs. And he's like, I know what you're thinking right now.
What was the point of the $50 million?
To show him that he had memorized one of the accounts. Yeah.
But I like to believe that he just memorized the one.
Well, that's what he says, though. But he goes, I know what you're thinking. Could I possibly have memorized all his accounts? Would I really put my friend's lives in jeopardy by doing this? Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's only one way you can find out, motherfucker.
Yep.
I know that this is how we were going to end up. And he goes, I knew this was going to happen.
From the beginning.
And I'm counting on it. And I'm also counting on the fact that you're nothing without this fucking money. Mm. You're nothing. And you're nothing without
me,
baby.
And you won't kill me, motherfucker.
You won't kill me because you need this money. And Solomon Lang's like, fuck.
And this whole time, Benji has a timer on his chest that's counting down.
Yeah, counting down.
Like, it's got like 30 seconds left.
I think it counts down like 19th of a second or something like that. Yeah. And then Lang hits the abort code and is like, fine, give me all the codes. Kill the girl, kill Benji, bring Ethan Hunt back alive. And they take the bomb. I think they take the bomb off of him at some point. Benji takes off. And then they're like, kill the girl.
Yeah.
Bring me Hunt back alive. What does Ethan do? Realizing he cannot be killed, becomes a living shield for Ilsa.
So
shit goes down, and he just
cool.
stabs right in front of her, and she does the thing where like the gun's underneath her, and he starts aiming for her, but they can't shoot him. Awesome scene.
So
just
good.
Great scene. They split off, they start running. Tom Cruise has a great fight scene with some guy where he like pushes him through a fucking wall again. And then pushes him through another wall as Ilsa runs in. She, of course, faces off against the Bone Collector. They got a great fight scene here where they're fighting knife to knife, just stabbing
the
shit, stabbing and slashing the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
Man.
And then she goes, I'm done with this shit. Climbs up on him like he's the mountain and just stabs him in the top of the head and then rides his dying body down and just walks away. Baller ass move.
Fucking cool.
Meanwhile, Ethan's been fucked up. He's been shot, stabbed, bludgeoned, all this shit from the first one ever. It doesn't matter. The two of them together have just decimated everyone at this point. They're shooting everyone. It doesn't matter. They split up. Ethan's by himself. And who's left? Lang. Pulls up in a car. Starts shooting at Ethan. Ethan limps away. Kind of maybe playing it up a little bit. Like he's a little fucked up. Goes into this like little mall area. Whatever the hell this is. This is an abandoned building.
Like a parking garage.
Parking garage, whatever it is. And then sees a hole and jumps down it. Right? And then Lang's like, I got him. I fucking got him. Looks down.
Dead to
Ethan's,
fucking rights.
Ethan just... in pain on the ground, just trying to crawl away at this point. And Lane's like, I got this motherfucker. Meanwhile, by the way, I forgot that we set up the fact that he's like, before this is all over, I'm going to put your ass in a fucking box. Like you put me in a box back in London. And he's like, we'll see about that. Jumps down and he's like, that's it, man. I fucking got you. Where's the disc?
For nothing.
Oh, wait, I like these lines here. I wrote these downs.
Disc.
Let's see.
I am the desk.
The face of he's like face to face, just as you wished, Ethan. But guess what, motherfucker? We got outplayed because of fucking just the door just slams. This door, this top, bottom, everything, lights go on.
The song you're music in a box, starts playing, and I'm just like, holy shit, they fucking did it.
Dun, dun,
and
I love it. Dun, 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 and then Ethan looks at him for a second and goes, and he starts shooting. He does the cool thing where he shoots the glass, tries to shoot everyone, and the team's all around him, and he goes, hurts, doesn't it? I know. And then he goes, everyone, this is Solomon Lang. Solomon, meet the IMF team.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So good.
And he just is like, motherfucker. And then they just pour probably a lethal dose of gas into this chamber.
Yeah, he poisoned
just
real good.
All of the oxygen gone. Goes up and we have the same mirror image where he's slamming against the glass that Ethan was slamming against in the vinyl offer back at the beginning of the
just
movie.
Just shooting in the
just
fucking
shooting,
same
trying
place.
To, just pissed off. And then passes out and goes down. And then what does Ethan do? Just pushes this
over,
thing
dude.
Over.
And
probably,
it just
yeah. They yeah. roll it into the back of a police van. Boom, we're done.
Package to deliver.
Package to deliver. Drive away with that thing. The real cops start showing up, and Ilsa hugs Ethan, and she's like, you better hurry now. And Ethan goes, good luck. And then she turns back around and goes, you know how to find
me. You know how to find me.
Yeah, and drives away.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back in Washington, Hunley is back in front of the Senate committee hearing, and he's like, they're like, you're trying to tell me that you shuttered the IMF as a ruse to get in with the syndicate. He's like, listen, we didn't know if it had penetrated all of the ranks of the government. We didn't know how far high up it went. Sorry, apologies, we had to do this. And he's like, that's a pretty hard pill to swallow. And I really don't really appreciate your tactics here, kind of using us as pawns. And then he goes, Brandt, what do you have to say about this? And Brandt goes, I can neither confirm nor deny any details of any operation.
What a great payoff.
Just, awesome.
Yeah.
And then they walk out and he turns over to Alec Baldwin and he says, welcome to the IMF, Mr. Secretary.
Hey,
Alec Baldwin is our new secretary.
Yeah. All right.
And the credits fucking roll. And we get another cool little montage with the line going down.
Yeah.
Really fun. But we finally, I think actually this is the first time we see the credit Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. I don't think they played it in the beginning. I don't know if we got that at the first. I mean, we did. Actually,
yeah,
we did. We got it in the thing.
Yeah.
We get another cool little credit tag where it's like Rogue Nation. Just so you didn't know, this is a fucking dope movie. And that's it.
He's created a rogue nation.
It. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for Villain Impossible.
Dun, 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 dun.
Villain.
We're so lazy.
So what do we have so far, Kevin?
So the list stands right now. Owen/Musgraves. Jim Phelps is our number two. Sean Ambrose is our number three. And Cobalt as our fourth.
I got to put Solomon Lang as number one.
Yeah?
I thought he was really good.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm not a part of Villain Impossible.
I think you are. I'm pretty sure from the beginning.
Kevin,
I was like,
Kevin,
yeah.
Kevin, it's your call.
I thought it was just Kevin and Nick. I think he's number one, but I'm just a fan.
Mm-hmm. I can see an argument for number two underneath Owens because and Davies because I liked the Philip Seymour Hoffman character, but yeah. I just feel like this is Ethan's like mental and physical match.
Yeah. So that's the thing. We didn't get much information on this villain. Just that like he's got a pretty good reason to hate all these secret organizations. He's smarter than Tom Cruise. So I agree with you. He's going to number one.
All right.
Wow.
There it is.
I thought he'd be number two.
And there you have it.
You want him to be number one, Amy. Dick.
But he's so, Philip Seymour Hoffman's so good there.
He was good.
He's so
good. An argument could be made, but I just feel like this guy was.
I think Philip Seymour Hoffman's like, I just like his demeanor more.
Yeah.
But,
His name is Lane, right?
He's not making it. Solomon Lane.
Yeah.
Lane.
Lane. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Now it's time for haiku in review. Bronze
Man. Seven syllables in the middle. You'll need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme.
Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
Everybody.
Now stop.
Stop.
I also added Langley to that because I felt like he was...
Hunley.
Is it Hunley?
Hunley.
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 Not Langley. Like, Langley's where they're from. That's where CIA headquarters is. Hunley, I believe, is the name of the character.
Yeah. Wait, this is the guy, the British...
Alec Baldwin.
No. What was the British...
Atlee.
That's what I meant to add.
Sean Boland from Game Attack writes in, thank the goddamn Lord for Rebecca Ferguson. She's my world. Call me.
She's my world, too.
Damn.
And then, let's see.
I agree, Boland.
The Secretary. Oh, you're killing it with this one. Benji was always a great character, but now Benji is da bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, got it.
Fucking idiot.
I don't really get this one. Andrew Mendoza says, opera be lit, bang, bang. What's in the box? Smoke, bang, bang. Oh, look, sheeps, ba, ba. There was sheeps at some point.
There was sheeps. When were there sheeps?
There was a lot of sheeps in Morocco.
No, there was.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. The nanobiologist says, I'm sad for Benji. He just wants to wear a mask. Give Benji a hug.
Great moment, dude.
Tensa says movie was awesome. Rebecca Ferguson is smack yo mama hot.
Damn. I'll tell you that right now, son.
And James Davis says, I want this movie to share a universe with Fast and Furious. God, I want that too. Alright, here we go. It's time to rank the Mission Impossible universe. Current ranking stand. Number one, Ghost Protocol. Number two, Mission Impossible 3. Number three, Mission Impossible. And number six, Mission Impossible 2. You don't need to hear
hands
me say.
Hands down.
I'm going to say this is one of my favorite movies I've ever seen.
It's so good.
It's a great movie.
It's just everything I want from a movie, and it just delivers. It's just so fucking fun. So high quality throughout. Like, the acting's great. The score is great. The choreography is next level action. My God. I don't know how you could be better than this.
Just wait.
Don't overhype Fallout.
Fallout, yeah, they just figured it out.
I don't know that it, like, anything could be.
I don't know if Fallout is better than this, yeah. But also, these last three movies are, again, very, I hate to keep comparing this to Fast and Furious, but, like, I think these last three Mission Impossible movies are interchangeable for me, where on any given day, I can like this movie more than the other one, and it all just comes down to the chemistry between like Benji, in my opinion, is kind of like one of the saving graces for this franchise, where without him, I don't know if they'd be as enjoyable. But it all comes down to the different movies, their gadgetry and how they sort of construct a scene around it. And so Ghost Protocol might be number one for me still.
Really?
You know what? I'm going to keep Ghost Protocol number one.
In your personal list.
But tomorrow, maybe Rogue Nation.
I think that Rogue Nation does a better job building the team, having you care about them. And then also, there's just something in Ghost Protocol when, like, they're in India. Like, you're just like, this doesn't need to be here. And, like, this movie, I think, is a little bit longer than Ghost Protocol. And it didn't feel that way.
It feels leaner.
It feels so lean and well designed.
And I think, and this one, like, the reason I like this is because Cobalt was just such a fucking generic character in 4. This one I like. I wrote a line down here that I meant to say, but we kind of skipped past it, where they're sitting there and they have this great line of dialogue where Elaine goes, human nature is my weapon of choice, right? Like, the moment I killed that young shop girl, and I did that on purpose, the moment I killed her, I knew you would stop at nothing but to find me, and that's why you're at, that's why you're sitting here playing my game.
So good.
And it's I like the cat and mouse game. I like that Lane. At when I first watched this, I was like, he's kind of generic. He's not. He's actually a really cool, not as fleshed out as I would like it to in this movie. But I mean, there's only so much you could do with 2 hours and 11 minutes of pure adrenaline action.
These movies aren't necessarily about the villain.
It's not so much
about the mission.
But I do like that. This guy felt ominous. This guy felt a step ahead.
In control.
Cobalt scary.
Cobalt just was like, I don't know. Like,
I totally agree.
You just don't know who the fuck that guy is.
Solomon Lane is, I think, far and away a much better villain than any villain that was presented.
He reminded me of L in Death Note.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is such a compliment.
It's
like,
cool.
This movie was rad as fuck.
And I didn't like his hair though.
Well, he had weird hair.
Kevin just googled him. He looks great with a beard. He's got to keep with the beard forever.
Oh, that's a good
like
call.
He looks weird without.
He's got the weird look. Does he talk like that, or was that like a thing?
No, that's how he talks.
Yeah.
I think he's Swedish or something like that.
It's cool though.
Solomon Lane.
No, I mean, I liked that dynamic, and I forgot how much I missed that dynamic, because what it really does is it allows you to shed a little bit of light on. This is what I like, what they try to do with Mission Impossible, is they still try to have some sort of character arc for Ethan, which is after five movies, you're like, what the fuck is he possibly going to wrestle with now? But you do have this like,
he's become is it destiny.
Ego? But there's a great moment where Brant's like, is this just ego? Are you just like, and multiple people have said like, there's the theme of are you just lucky? Is your luck going to run out one day? But there's also the theme of like, dude, are you making the situation worse because your own ego is getting in the way because you can't beat this guy? And then Ethan has to figure out, has to come to terms with that and then go, fuck, maybe that's the case. But maybe, by the way, maybe that is the key to beating this guy, is that he's counting on me and my ego. He's counting on the fact that he knows that I have to be the hero and we could use that against him. It's really, really cool.
Beautiful.
It's actually a pretty clever like piece of writing, and I think it comes together a lot nicer, which, by the way, is why when you pause it midway through, you want more of it as opposed to being like, oh shit, there's more of this movie left, because there's no tie that goes there's no loose end that goes undone.
Well, I also think it's clear. Like, I feel like this is the first time in the franchise where I understood what everyone was doing at any point, and if I didn't, that was by design, and I knew that it was going to be answered really soon.
Like, at first, you're like, what, Rebecca Ferguson's character, what is she going on? Is she double? And then you realize, oh, she's being played also, she's at is murky.
Which then builds to, like, credit the villain, where it's like, oh, this is the problem. That's why he's a villain, because also, she's totally getting fucked.
But that's how he recruits people, too.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I liked about it. You could tell he's had that conversation before, where he's like, this is how I get all my people, because the system has fucked you, right? Why don't you just come aboard? Come on board. We're on the party train. And that's really, really cool. Like, there's a lot more layers to this movie than I thought originally when I first walked out of the theater seeing it. And I really appreciate it for that. I think it does what any good action movie does, needs to do, which is it makes you care about the characters first and foremost, what's going on with them, so that when they're in those action sequences, there's actually stakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. You know what? I will stay. I will stay. Rogue Nation, the plot and everything I do, and villain, I do enjoy more in Rogue Nation. I will say that the set pieces and just missions overall in Ghost Protocol, I prefer more.
It's a little more high profile. There's a little more highfalutinness to those.
I love the glove scene on the Burj Khalifa. I love
the water scene.
I love
the hanging on the plane.
I love the different. We're faking out the bad guys to pretend we're on a different floor, and they think we're there. We think they're. You know, I love that whole sort of dynamic with the. You know, taking photos scanning, with the eyes, and like that moment, you're like, oh, did she know? Like, I love all of that. So I like the missions more in Ghost Protocol, but I think Rogue Nation is an overall just better movie, story wise and character wise.
Time to vote. Who thinks it's better than Ghost Protocol? Raise your hand.
I'm still gonna keep it down. Just
everyone,
for the fuck of it.
Everyone, raise their hand. Oh, except Andy. Andy does not raise his hand. Okay, I thought you switched.
Tomorrow, I'll raise my hand.
Got it. Okay, cool. Well,
they're all good. Whatever. They're fucking good.
Number one is now Rogue Nation. Number two, Ghost Protocol. Number three, Mission Impossible 3. Number four, Mission Impossible. And number six, Mission Impossible 2. Next week, Mission Impossible Fallout. The end of the Mission Impossible franchise thus far. We got 7 and 8 coming, but not for a while.
Yeah, it's
2021 and 2022.
Oh, really? It's not 2020 and 21?
Mm-mm.
Damn it.
Yeah. I'm excited too. Henry Cavill joining the cast.
In the next movie.
Oh,
great. Yeah.
Excited for that. Yeah. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, that one fucking
really
scene.
Really cool.
I can't wait.
Enough.
It's going to be real hard for me to not watch this movie. Like now.
Do you have it in 4K? Yeah.
Of course I do.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm really I might actually watch it.
Because the IMAX scenes are actually in full.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's go, dude. Let's fucking go. Until next time.
This video will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Oh, no.